This is KFI.
William Henry is an investigative mythologist and author of a number of books on ancient mythology and neo-archaeology with a Stargate twist. By applying the latest theories in science and consciousness to ancient myths of the gates of the illumined gods, including Sumerian, Egyptian, and Holy Grail gateway myths, he hopes to uncover the secrets of the guarded by such groups as the Illuminati. His latest book, Oracle of the Illuminati, states that we are on the verge of rediscovering the sacred science of creating peace on Earth. He also has a new DVD, and we'll talk with William a little bit later on about that as well. Because, William, you have got to tell us about the wormhole dance. That is incredible.
Oh, thank you, George. That was absolutely a phenomenal surprise to see while we are in Egypt. And by the way, thanks again for having me on the program tonight. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, that's right. You went to Egypt with Jordan Maxwell, right?
Yes.
Because a picture of both of you up on the coasttocoastam.com website, you know, I thought about both of you a few days ago because Douglas Hagman, who does a special website for Homeland Security U.S., not for the Homeland Security, but that's what he calls it, Homeland Security U.S., had a report that a lot of Middle Eastern websites had thought that Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak had died, and it ultimately became a major story where he had to go on television to prove that he was still ticking.
Well,
there was something. But what was the mood out there in Egypt when you were there? And whereabouts did you go specifically?
Well, we, of course, flew into Cairo, and then we took the Nile cruise, went on down south to Luxor and Aswan. And, you know, my family and friends were kind of concerned about us traveling to a Muslim country, a Middle Eastern Muslim country during wartime. And to be perfectly honest, I was just a little bit concerned myself. But when we get there, it was absolutely amazing because it turns out that they absolutely love Americans there. And in fact, if I may be so bold, I was talking with a couple of people there. They actually think our president, George W. Bush, was sent by God. And they feel that way because finally someone is standing up to the tyrants in the Middle East. And someone has finally put them on notice that they can't get away with the abuses of the past. And that was a real eye-opener for me to hear firsthand that perspective on the ground, because I just wasn't getting reports like that from the mainstream media that I've been watching the cable news channels. And so it was extremely enheartening, to say the least, to get that kind of report from them.
Did you feel safe?
Absolutely 100% safe. There wasn't a single moment that we felt in any way, shape, or form in danger. In fact, the Egyptians, I found them to be some of the most hospitable people I have ever encountered. I mean, I live here in Tennessee that is famed for its southern hospitality, and I have to tell you that the people in Tennessee here can take a lesson from the Egyptians. They are so open-hearted and so eager to befriend Westerners, Americans, to share, to offer any kind of assistance that they possibly can. It was a truly, truly wonderful experience from that point of view.
When you were going out there, did you go out there with a little gulp thinking, oh my, I don't know about this. I don't know about this trip.
Well, I didn't know that much about Cairo going into the trip. And, of course, we come out of the sky after a short 9-hour trip from Gotham City, and we're in the middle of a sandstorm. There had been a 3-day sandstorm going on. The place looked bombed out to me, something like I more would have expected Iraq to look like from the air.
Yeah.
And when we get there, of course, we're told that there had been a sandstorm and this would soon pass, and the heat's incredible, and you step out into this oven of incredible smog. I simply was not prepared. Jordan Maxwell calls Egypt, Cairo in particular, a total assault on your senses. And that's what it is. There is nothing that can prepare you for the overwhelming overpopulation, indeed the poverty, and just the plain pollution is just unbelievable. And it just overpowers you. But underneath it all, Egypt begins working its magic on you from the moment you, practically the moment you enter its airspace. And I'm not trying to disparage the Egyptian people by commenting this way, but it's just something you're just not prepared for. It's almost as if you're thinking when you're going to Egypt that you're going into the past. You know that for certain because you're going to be experiencing ancient temples. But the thing is that you get this little nagging voice that says, you know what? Cairo, in its overpopulation, 17 million people living in a very small space, this could be our future.
I'll tell you, though, there's nothing like America right now, William. You know, it comes back and you appreciate this country even more than you did even before you left. How many people went with you on the trip?
We had 13 people on the trip, which was just about right.
Well, it did. Did Ivy make it?
Yes, of course.
Ivy West, of course. Do you go on trips like this quite often? Because I remember a year or so ago you went to the Chateau in France.
Right, it was Chateau last May.
Right, okay. So you do something annually every year.
Yes. Probably going to be going back to Egypt next year. It was just so incredibly wonderful that I just can't wait to go back.
Did you hear what I just said? I said you do something annually every year.
Yeah.
That's like coming from the Department of Redundancy Department.
That's okay. We'll let you have that one.
That's going to go down in my archives. The trip itself, why did you select Egypt, and what did you expect to accomplish?
Well, I had to go to Egypt. I can't be William Henry, investigative mythologist, and having never been to Egypt. But the fact is, I hadn't been to Egypt, and I'd been studying it for a long, long time. And over the past, decade or so, I've been developing this idea that maybe Egyptologists, mainstream Egyptology anyway, has overlooked evidence in Egypt's temples that there may have been a very powerful spiritual technology, I'm talking of stargates and wormholes, that could be displayed on the temple walls. In fact, I had been collecting images of a device I call the resurrection machine that I believe was used by the gods of ancient Egypt to open gateways into other realms. So I went to Egypt in order to answer these questions. Has there been in temple inscriptions? Have there been reliefs? Have there been other things that have been overlooked by mainstream Egyptology just simply because they're focused on other things? And in fact, I found that to be the case.
When I was looking at your DVD, and you were talking about how you believe the human body can enter wormholes and stargates, I mean, we'll talk about that for a moment. But I found it fascinating to see how you compared the drawings and the etchings of stargates with what science believes wormholes, for example, look like.
Right.
I found the parallels to be pretty fascinating.
It's truly, truly fascinating, and I have to say that an average person, or in fact a scientist probably looking at that, would say there's absolutely no conceivable way that any of these historical figures, Jesus, even the Egyptian gods, they simply did not travel by stargates or wormholes. But yet, the artwork that is presented in many of these cases is virtually identical to the way modern science is portraying stargates and wormholes.
Now, let's get your definition of this, too, William. Stargates and wormholes, are we talking about the same thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we're talking about, if you saw the movie Stargate or you saw the movie Contact, we're talking about tunnels in space that link places on, point A on Earth, for example, with point B somewhere else in the galaxy, and you're able to travel between these points as if there's nothing in between.
Do you believe that these wormholes, stargates, are natural, or that there's some quirk of universal nature, for example?
There's two schools of thought. There's one, and Paul Davies wrote an excellent article about this in Scientific American a few years ago, saying basically science feels that these wormholes are either a natural occurring after effect of the Big Bang, which means they've been here since the beginning, which is essentially what Carl Sagan said in Contact, or they can be the mouths or throats of these wormholes can be opened with particle accelerators. And of course, we've only spent the past 100 years building particle accelerators, essentially a knife that's able to slice and dice matter at its minutest level. And we're not at a level right now where we have the enormous power at our fingertips to be able to open these. However, we're beginning to point our science in the direction of being able to do so.
That's fascinating. The movie Contact, which is one of Art's favorite movies, one of my favorite movies, one of your favorite movies,
yes.
I showed incredible light as she traveled from place to place. If the human body has an ability to travel through it, how do you know where you're going?
That's a great question. It's mostly consciousness, because I feel that when they talked about that movie, see, Carl Sagan didn't believe in the concept of UFOs or flying saucers. He said there's no way that an arbitrarily advanced species came from elsewhere within our solar system or beyond through some sort of flying craft. He said, that's not going to happen. But yet he wanted to write a fictional movie about first contact with an extraterrestrial civilization. So he went to Dr. Kip Thorne at Caltech and presented the problem to him, and Kip Thorne and his group came back and said, we've got it. Well, we've come up with an idea for a traversable wormhole where this civilization could travel from their home to Earth in a reasonable amount of time. Now, one of the hitches is that they were concerned about the exotic matter of which these wormholes are alleged to be composed, because they feel that they would be harmful to the human body. Modern science focuses on the belief that they have to line the tubes of these wormholes with some sort of protective mechanism.
What do you mean by that?
They're going to have to put some sort of a shield in between the person going through the wormhole or the craft going through the wormhole and the exotic matter itself, sort of like a radiation shield.
Okay, like Jodie Foster was in that steel casing.
Exactly.
Okay.
But what my research into the ancient gateway stories revealed, including those in the Bible, including those in the Sumerian and Egyptian stories, is it revealed that the temple facilities that reflect these stories of the gateways also talk about the transformation of a human into another form, perhaps a light being, preparatory towards entering one of these wormholes. So the focus wasn't on the out here, on transforming the wormholes. It was on transforming the person going through it. And that's a big difference because, well, it makes sense that we would have to transform a person going through the wormhole, because look at NASA. Look at the training that the astronauts go through just entering, going into Earth's orbit.
Oh, yeah.
Magnify that by 100-fold at least, and now we have the training that would be undergone preparatory towards entering one of these stargates or wormholes. And by the way, on this subject, I put up on my website, williamhenry.net, a comparison of one of those images you talked about a moment ago that shows a typical ascension scene of Jesus. And what we see in this image is Jesus in front of the concentric rings symbol, which is always a tip-off that you're talking about a gateway experience, going into the inner world of consciousness or, I think, entering one of these wormhole tubes. And so he's standing in front of these concentric rings, and two angels are holding up the ring that he is traveling through. Well, beside that, next to it, I show a NASA image of a warp craft entering a wormhole, and NASA portrays the rings of the wormhole in virtually the same fashion that this Russian artist portrayed this icon of Jesus' ascension. And so what I'm suggesting is that here's a very valid comparison. You look at these two images and you say, now that's identical symbolism. And in the language of symbolism, the symbol, no matter where it appears, is interchangeable. It's you're able to look at a symbol, whether it occurs in the ancient world or the modern world, and if it looks like a duck and acts like a duck, it must be a duck.
Now, is this where your knowledge and backing as a mythologist, William, comes in? Because are these your interpretations
Yes.
of things that... Okay.
This is brand new territory of having a person take sort of the poetic approach that I'm taking. I'm very open-minded about it and looking at it and saying, well, it's a look-like, must-be-then kind of approach that sometimes left-brained academics don't like that approach. But it's very enlightening and, in my opinion, a very open-minded approach to these stories, because what we're ultimately really dealing with here, George, is archetypal symbols. And they reappear over and over throughout human history and myths and stories and legends. And the idea is that they help guide us towards reaching the top of the mountain, so to speak.
This is fascinating stuff, William. I mean, every time you come back on a trip or do some research, I mean, it's mind-boggling. Next hour, why don't we get into those pictures and those images so you can explain them that are on your website.
I'd love to.
And we'll do that. But for the rest of this hour, I want to continue talking with you about these wormholes and these stargates that are there. Do you believe that ancient visitors to this planet, if there were some, traveled that way to get here?
Well, what I see in the artwork that they left or inspired is gods or goddesses constantly coming and going through gates. They literally show them coming and going to Earth through gateways. One of the ones that I show on my website is reflective of the story of the Epic of Gilgamesh, where Gilgamesh was a descendant of the gods, and he went looking for the mountain of the gods and the gate of the gods, and he found it. And the image that was presented to us from the ancient world shows Gilgamesh standing inside of a doorway, and around the side of the doorway are these squiggly lines that are symbolic of water. And so when we put the squiggly line symbolic of water together with the door, it says he's standing in a water door. And this is exactly how, for example, in the movie Stargate, the Stargate is portrayed as a door composed of water. But it's really not water, it's energy, it's vibration. That's why the lines are squiggly. It's indicative of energy or energy in motion.
How long does it take you when you look at a picture like that to come up with this kind of theory? I mean, does it hit you right away, William, or does it take time?
No, it's taken quite a while. Another image that I use in almost all of my books was found by J.P. Morgan's gang in Iraq, and from the ancient world. It's dated to approximately at least 800 B.C., but probably later than that. And it shows two fish gods, or gods, rather priests in fish suits, standing in front of a radiant pillar. And hovering above this radiant pillar is a god in what looks like a UFO at first glance.
I know, it really does.
Yeah.
Ask me to ask you about Abydos when we come back as well. I'm George Norrie. William Henry, our very special guest tonight. His website, williamhenry.net, gets hundreds of thousands of hits every time he's on Coast to Coast. He's got a book number, too. I'll give you that right now. In case you look at his website and look at some of his books, he's got a number to order, 615-292-7863. And I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
To access the audio archives of Coast to Coast AM, log on to coasttocoastam.com.
KFI News.
News on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks.
I'm Rick Cruz in the KFI News Center. A woman found with the body of a dead baby in her car after she was pulled over for speeding near Santa Clarita has been booked for investigation of murder. According to authorities, the CHP pulled Feliciana Reyes over on the 5 freeway for speeding. Baby girl was 10 months old. An Orange County man has told police he found a note in a jar of a baby food that said the food was poisoned. the second such incident within a month. Police are telling Marcus to inspect baby food jars for signs of tampering and are asking parents to make sure food containers are sealed before purchasing them. A Los Angeles judge has given final approval to a settlement ending an environmental lawsuit that tried to stop the construction of a 174-acre shipping terminal at the Port of L.A. L.A. Mayor Han says the deal paves the way now for China Shipping to begin operating at the terminal using alternative fuel sources. Southland weather from KFI. Morning fog and clouds with a chance of drizzle. Partial afternoon clearing. High 78, low 64. The news is brought to you by SeaWorld. Ride adventure to new heights on Journey to Atlantis, SeaWorld's new splashdown water coaster where mysterious mists and unpredictable drops lurk around every turn. KFI is the talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. I'm Rick Cruz in the KFI News Center.
Traffic presented by Lexus.
I'm Barbara Brooks in the KFI Traffic Center. Inglewood, 405 northbound, just past La Cienega. Got a crash, looks like everything off to the right shoulder. Los Angeles, 5 northbound for Stadium Way. Accident also cleared from the right lane over to the shoulder. Downtown LA, 110 southbound connector to the 10 eastbound. Closed for some Caltrans work. Tustin, 5 southbound to Tustin Ranch Road, or right lanes coned off. This traffic report brought to you by Plumbers. Visit Plumbers Furniture. Pick up the new catalog filled with furniture for your home and office. Beautifully designed, finely crafted, and truly affordable. With 7 Southland Plumbers locations to serve you. KFI is the talk station with the most frequent traffic reports for Lexus dealers. I'm Barbara Brooks in the KFI Traffic Center.
This is KFI.
I have been telling you about AIS, Auto Insurance Specialists, for over 10 years. That's how long I've been a customer. And I'm not alone. There's 400,000 of us who are AIS customers. Not only do they compare very favorably, well, let me even go beyond that. They're going to beat the price you're now paying for auto insurance, but they're also going to give you the rate of the other carriers, like GEICO or Progressive. You compare for yourself. So why would you call anyone else? They have a plan that grows with you. Every year, they look at your coverage to see if there's any changes to make sure you're saving the most amount of money. They also offer multiple policy discounts. I do auto and homeowners with them, and I save an additional 15%. They do homeowners insurance, renters insurance, and, of course, auto insurance. AIS, Auto Insurance Specialist. Boy, is it worth that phone call. 25 locations throughout Southern California. 1-800-777-4AIS. AISinsurance.com on the net. 1-800-777-4AIS.
The following message was left at the Be the Broker offices on January 14th, 2004.
You guys are an absolute joke. I don't know what you're trying to pull, but we're all going to suffer.
This is Danny Legie, president of Be the Broker. Wondering who this is and why he's so upset? This mortgage broker just found out what you're about to learn. Mortgage brokers get paid to raise your interest rate while also charging you points to do it. They're lender rebates, and they're usually in the thousands of dollars. At Be the Broker, you choose the interest rate, so you keep the lender rebate, and you're never charged any points, ever. Be the Broker does everything that a traditional mortgage broker does, only faster and better, and we don't charge as much for it. We've blown the lid off the mortgage industry's dirty little secret. Call us now to learn how you can keep the lender rebate by brokering your own loan and see how borrowers can become brokers. Call now at 866-844-4555 or visit www.bethebroker.net. That's 866-844-4555 or www.bethebroker.net. 866-844-4555.
DRE license number 01321542.
Bridging the gender gap.
Dr. Laura, today, noon to 3, KFI AM. AM 640.
Gateway to the West. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And
And our guest, William Henry, tonight. Hey, the After Dark newsletter, of course, comes out every month. It is a great newsletter. It's part of Coast to Coast. There are a couple ways you can order it. Call 1-888-727-5505. You may also order it online by going to coasttocoastam.com. Please underscore this. June 18th. That is the last day to get the free CD of Malachi Martin talking about exorcisms. This CD will not be reproduced again. 1-888-727-5505 or online, coasttocoastam.com.
Millions of people who've never even set foot in a casino take a dangerous gamble every day, living without health insurance. You just can't afford not to have it. But affordable health insurance can be hard to find, particularly if you're a hardworking entrepreneur or if you're working for a company that doesn't offer benefits. Fortunately, the Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee has a solution with their dependable, affordable health insurance plans. Call today at 1-800-413-9400. More than likely, they have a plan that fits your individual needs perfectly at a price you can afford. After all, if you can't pay the premium, all the insurance in the world is useless. So call 1-800-413-9400. Don't gamble. Go to Midwest. Their home office is located in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. That toll-free number again is 1-800-413-9400. This coverage is not available in all states. Call today, 1-800-413-9400.
There is a company called Lear Financial, and they would like you to call them at this number. It's toll-free, 1-800-474-4259, so they can send you out a free gold guide and special reports on the gold boom ahead. Did you know that with current market conditions, they've created a tremendous opportunity for gold and precious metals? And with a growing budget deficit, a weak dollar, smart diversification strategies, more and more investors are turning to gold to protect and grow savings and retirement accounts. Lear Financial helped me diversify savings with gold, and I feel more secure with that portfolio and its potential. If you'd like to learn more, call the experts at Lear Financial at 1-800-474-4259 for that free gold profit guide. That's 1-800-474-4259. And find out why now could be one of the best times to own gold. Call today, and you'll receive everything you need to make an informed decision in gold, including three new special reports on the gold boom ahead. And again, it's all free. 1-800-474-4259. Well, how would you like to feel years younger in weeks? Of course you would. There's proof that the effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH, human growth hormone. Start thinking about your health. For some time, you've heard us talk about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH, and according to thousands of articles and clinical studies, higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. That's why people take Ultimate HGH, which is a natural formula to help boost your body's own production of HGH. Perhaps that goal is to help improve your energy and stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, build up an immune function. Ultimate HGH is for you. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate HGH, number three is free, and that's a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. And with that order, a free book on HGH, $20 value. So call this number, 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627. Mythologist William Henry, our guest tonight at Coast to Coast AM. William, that toll-free number I gave out for your book order, I want to make sure that was correct. 615?
Yes, 615-292-7863.
Very good.
And if anyone needs to, I have a lot of requests for information on the message. If anybody needs to, just leave a message. I'll call them back. I love talking with folks.
Yeah, and yes, you do. I mean, I found you to be very enlightening and approachable when I met you in Los Angeles.
Well, thank you.
Several months ago.
Yeah, that was fun.
So it is your belief, though, that human beings, and then I want you to explain how you think it might be done, that they may be able to travel through wormholes and stargates. Do they have to be, though, in a craft or some kind of casing, like you were talking about, or can they do it through the mind, for example?
Well, yeah, I think it's both, because actually one of the touchstones or keystones of this concept comes from Jewish mysticism. They call it Merkaba or Merkaba mysticism. And the Merkaba or Merkaba, literally translated, is supposed to mean space-time light vehicle. And this is alleged to be an energy field that surrounds the human body that is, in fact, our divine birthright. And many of us just simply go through our lives without activating this Merkaba vehicle. But there's been a real renaissance in the teaching of this concept in the past decade or so. Drumvalo, Melchizedek, Greg Braden, have been, folks like that have been bringing this teaching to the world, literally. And now there's websites all over the place that talk about this. So the answer to the question is that in part it is an energy within the body that has a consciousness component, because there's meditation is a huge part of it. But then it may ultimately also be a literal physical craft. And one example of this Merkaba vehicle comes from the story of Elijah. In the Bible, Elijah goes up, ascends into the heavens in a whirlwind. And there's some excellent researchers that submit that whirlwind is a buzzword or a code word for some form of a craft that lifted him off the ground and took him into the heavens where he dwelled with the gods. Ezekiel's chariot is another example of this. And so there's a lot of different stories that talk about it in terms of being a literal physical craft. But then there's a whole body of mysticism that says that the body must be prepared for this experience, and the mind as well.
In the movie Stargate, which was also an equally great movie, all these beings came through this Stargate back and forth. And it was located near the pyramid, wasn't it? Or in the pyramid?
I believe so. Yeah, I think it was. I don't recall exactly how Dean Devlin wrote the opening scene where they discover that ring in Egypt, but it may have been Giza. You may be right.
Do you believe there's any special mystical powers within the pyramids themselves?
I experienced the mystical powers within the pyramids.
What happened?
Well, let me just say this, and to preface this, I'm really not a pyramidologist. I haven't spent a great deal of time studying the pyramid, either from a mystical or even a scientific point of view. So I approached those monuments from just a very open-minded, open-hearted kind of perspective. I was just there as a tourist, essentially.
You mean you're not going to tell me how they moved those blocks of stone, William?
I'll tell you, I don't think humans built those things. That's my personal intuition. But we entered the king's chamber, and of course you enter the pyramid and you go up what they call the grand gallery, which is this angled walkway that you walk up. And boy, do you wish you had a thigh master back home, because you really feel the burn walking up this angle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's something. You definitely want to be in shape for Egypt. And so we get up into the king's chamber, and of course this is this red granite, almost cubicle room, rectangular shaped room, with these stones that weigh how many tons? They're just enormous, and it's a phenomenal room with inside the pyramid. And the first thing that we're noticing is that, wait a minute, do you hear that sound? It sounds like this thing is humming. And you're everybody's hearing this, and you're able to talk about it, and you distinctly feel like you're inside of a machine,
like a tuning fork
that this machine, this pyramid, the Great Pyramid, is some kind of a resonator. In fact, Chris Dunn writes about that in Giza Power Plant. I read that after I got home.
Exactly.
And because I experienced exactly what he's talking about, and I discussed it with the group, because everybody could feel this pulse. And to be honest, George, remember in movie Contact when Jodie Foster first hears the pulse from Vega, and it sounds like, you know, dun-dun, dun-dun, dun-dun.
Right.
That's very close to what we perceived inside the king's chamber. And so what happened to me is finally, there was about 30 of us in the king's chamber, and finally the group settles down and we get a little quiet time. And I just kind of pick a little corner over here, and I slide down the smooth red granite wall, and I shut my eyes and just kind of open up a little bit. And I'll never forget this. All of a sudden, the only way I can describe it is this smiling blue eye appears in my consciousness. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is some kind of a being. This is some kind of a consciousness that's making contact with me. And the only way I can describe it at that time was a smiling blue eye. And it was just kind of basking me in this sort of radiance. And this went on for a good 3 or 4 minutes.
What does a smiling blue eye look like?
Well, just imagine a blue eye that is just beaming joy at you. Okay?
Okay.
That's basically what I'm seeing. Well, then I get out of the pyramid and I say, hey, did anybody see a smiling blue eye? And they're like, no, nothing like that. And then I go into a papyrus shop right next to the pyramid village there, the pyramid and Sphinx village, and there's the left blue eye of Horus. That's exactly what I saw, was the left blue eye of Horus, the Egyptian god Horus.
That's strange.
And then to top it off, a couple of days later, we go down to Luxor, and I'm in the museum shop at Luxor, and here's this little trinket. It's a little 2-inch-tall golden pyramid. Yeah, it's about $1.50, this little trinket. And right in, exactly in the place where the king's chamber is located, guess what's there? A blue eye of Horus.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, you know what? I must have had some kind of a standard or stock pyramid experience.
Well, maybe you're tuned in out there.
Well, that's a good possibility, because I've had people comment that it was some form of an initiation. And it actually is, when I got home and started reflecting on it, I wrote a booklet to go along with my wormhole dance video, which we can talk about later. But I compared the Great Pyramid to Jacob's ladder, his experience.
Okay, and his ladder was something that reached into the heavens, right?
Yes, and Jacob actually saw a ladder with angels ascending and descending on either side, and the Lord was there. But Jacob also had an experience at a place called Peniel, where he saw the face of God. And it's quite possible that Jacob's ladder, his experience, took place at the Great Pyramid, because of all the places on Earth that would ideally match up with the location where Jacob had his experience, it would be the Great Pyramid.
By the way, I think blew open your website again.
Oh.
So I don't know when it'll pop back up again, but people are having problems getting into it.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to check the Coast to Coast one to see, because next hour we're going to talk about these pictures.
Right.
Let's make sure that they can come up here.
And one of the things that I was thinking about this eye and the pyramid.
The pictures that are linked on the Coast to Coast will work, by the way.
Oh, great. Great. Okay. Wonderful. As I'm thinking about this eye and pyramid experience, I'm also thinking about the all-seeing eye on the back of the $1 bill on the Great Seal of the United States. And I'm wondering if this is a corollary to the experience that I had in the King's Chamber.
It might have been. Well, you know, when you were out there, did other people witness some of the same things?
Yes. In fact, another place where we heard the hum or felt the hum was at Saqqara, which is right near Giza. And these are experiences that are shared by everyone in the group, and it's so wonderful because you can talk about it, you can reflect on it, and it just gives you the sense that you're in some very powerful hands when you're walking through these temples. And we still, I'm convinced, we haven't fully decoded any of these monuments. In fact, someone told me there, an Egyptian told me, that they feel like 75%, as much as 75% of the temples of ancient Egypt are yet to be discovered. They're still buried beneath the sands.
This just fascinates me. I mean, everything that's going on there, stargates. How did the ancients know about some of these things that even mainstream scientists can't figure out today?
Well, I think, like, the basic ideas of the images of the gods riding serpents, for example, when they show Osiris riding along in a serpent, and in the Book of the Dead you see pharaohs riding serpents into the stars. I think a lot of this is just basic cosmic imagery that would appear in civilization after civilization, no matter where it's located in the cosmos. I also think that, based upon my research, that a lot of this symbolism is literally hardwired into our DNA. And it rises and it falls. It goes dormant and it becomes active again. And right now, because of the cosmic predicament that we find ourselves in, vis-a-vis, for example, the 2012 alignment and other such things, I feel that our DNA is being activated once again. And the meaning of this symbolism is becoming clear. We're coming into the light, and therefore we're able to see more clearly what the symbolism is actually all about. And now we have the technology to act upon it.
Well, we do have the technology to act upon it, but will we? What do you think? Will we do the right thing?
Well, it has to be mediated by spirit. There's no question about that, and that's part of my quest is to match modern science and this cutting edge ideas of the quantum entanglement. I noticed you had an article about that from the BBC on the Coast site yesterday.
Yes.
And stargates and wormholes with the ancient ideas concerning the soul, concerning the spirit. We have to match these two together. That's the only way we're going to get it right.
Doesn't Cairo mean Mars?
It does. It comes from Al-Kahira, I believe, was the actual Arabic term that meant Mars. And that's, you kind of feel like you've landed on Mars when you get to Cairo. It's amazing, George. And I've got, we had a really great photographer. Pete Smith is a photographer and videographer that was along for the trip. And he's put up an excellent gallery that you can access from my site when it comes back up. And he shows these amazing pictures of Cairo, especially. You see these mud brick dwellings that are windowless that people live in, and you look at that and say, now that's like a 1,000-year-old dwelling. I mean, there's nothing modern about that whatsoever, except for the satellite dish sticking out of the top of it. And you see the way that the Stone Age and the New Age are kind of meeting one another in these places. And it's the same thing when you get out into the countryside. You see the most simplistic lifestyle you can ever imagine, the most simplistic agrarian lifestyle, palm trees, mud brick dwellings beside a river with a family there that looks like it hasn't changed since time began. But then you see the cell phone tower stuck out in the field, and you see the satellite dish on top of the home.
Well, that's true. Hey, before we get into next hour's pictures here, including the resurrection machine, tell me about this DVD that I looked at today.
Oh, it's called The Wormhole Dance, and what it is, it's my reflections on an astonishing dance that I witnessed in Luxor, Egypt. And would you like to chat just for a moment about
that? Yeah, we've got some time for that. Go ahead.
I was feeling very fulfilled on the trip, as we'll talk next hour, of some of the imagery that I was able to bring home from Egypt. And one night we're on a cruise ship in Luxor, and the mater or the concierge calls and said, hey, you know, we got a belly dancer getting ready to get going. And I'm like, well, I'll pass. You know, I don't particularly like to do corny tourist things like that.
I'd be there.
Yeah,
and in the front seat.
Yeah, well, I had seen a belly dancer in Giza, so I had my fill. And so then they call back a few minutes later saying, hey, you know, the belly dancer is getting going, and we'd really like you to come down and watch it. Well, I get down there, and in walks this guy. There's three guys playing music. I call them Benny and the Pyramids. That's not their real name, but they were playing some traditional Egyptian music. And all of a sudden, this real tall, real thin guy walks into the room, and he starts spinning.
Spinning
like a top. He's a whirling dervish. And I'm watching this, and all of a sudden he brings a multicolored skirt out. It's red, black, and yellow, and that fades into white. It's incidentally the four colors of the races. And he's spinning, and all of a sudden this skirt forms the shape of what looks like a flying saucer. And I say, wait a minute, that's a flying saucer. That's a UFO. That's a Merkaba vehicle he's just got spinning around his body. But he doesn't stop there. The next thing I know, he pulls out a second skirt, forms it into a upside-down UFO spinning around the top of his body. And I look at that and say, that's a wormhole. That is a wormhole. And then he doesn't stop there. He lifts the second one above his head, and the top spinning part of it becomes the top ring or mouth of the wormhole. His body becomes the throat of the wormhole, and then the bottom spinning skirt is the other mouth or ring of the wormhole. And it's what he's doing, and by the way, he's a whirling dervish, and the word dervish means doorway.
Oh, really?
Doorway.
Okay, that's fast. And this, I assume, is an old, ancient dance. Huh?
It goes back 1,000 years to the Islamic mystic poet Rumi. And I call it the wormhole dance because that's what he forms. And then, get this, towards the end of the dance, he closes the wormhole, but not before bringing through a bundle of cloth that he forms into a baby, a child. And this is the ultimate cosmic drama unfolded right there of the divine child coming through the umbilical cord of the universe, which we call a wormhole, and all put together in this spinning mystic Islamic dance. And I'm looking at this and I pick my jaw up off the floor and I'm thinking, this is a classic East meets West story. Here comes an investigative mythologist viewing this from a Western scientific background, and here's this traditional Islamic, mystic Islamic dance that reflects the cutting edge of our modern science.
Do you think the dancer knew what that dance was?
I talked with him afterward, and he said, yes, the dance is about the unity of heaven and earth.
Interesting. We'll
and
be
I
back
videotaped
with
it.
Yeah, you sure did, because it does look, I got to tell you, it's uncanny. It does look like a flying saucer, and that's part of that DVD. We'll be back with William Henry in just a moment. And again, get your computers out. There's a link up now at coasttocoastam.com. There's a number of items we're going to talk about. Resurrection Machine, Dendera 1, Dendera 2, Abydos, the Serpent Ship, a couple other objects as well. We'll be back in a moment.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now.
This is KFI.
Hi, this is Karen Sharp. Wouldn't you just love to erase those tiny fine lines and wrinkles on your face so you can look the very best that you can? Well, you can with Chamonix Esotique. Unlike department store cosmetics, the antioxidants in Chamonix Esotique are so effective, you'll see results in 3 to 4 weeks or your money back. Order a 4-month supply of Esotique today, and for the first time this year, you'll get a full 4-month supply of the Deep Firming Serum. Free, plus free shipping. Call 800-SKIN-211. 800-SKIN-211. The combination of Esotique and a deep firming serum is absolutely amazing. I love the all-natural ingredients in Esotique, like grapeseed extract, vitamin E, and calendula extract. It just makes me feel good about putting it on my skin. And with the collagen-building deep firming serum, my skin has never looked more radiant. Don't waste any more money on products that don't work. Order Esotique today and get a 4-month supply of deep firming serum free and free shipping. Call 800-SKIN-211. 800-SKIN-211.
Was the legend of King Arthur based on history? Were the heroes of the Round Table real? Did Camelot exist in some forgotten corner of England? The History Channel embarks on the ambitious project of discovering the true origin of Britain's ideal king and bringing to light the historic figure buried beneath this romantic fiction. Slay the Myth and tune in to a special presentation of The Quest for King Arthur. Sunday, June 20th at 9 p.m. only on the History Channel.
More stimulating talk radio.
There are 5 counts that deal specifically with force, and the defense tried to argue that if the girl seen on the video was, in fact, unconscious, then the 3 boys didn't have to use force to have sex with her or assault her.
The big story. What's new? What's next?
Southern California's KFI.
Los Angeles.
News on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks.
A woman stopped for speeding is found with a dead baby in her car. Good morning, I'm Rick Cruz with the 3 o'clock news on KFI. A woman pulled over for speeding near Santa Clarita has been arrested after officers found a dead baby in her back seat. CHP officers who stopped 27-year-old Feliciana Reyes on the 5 freeway found the body of a 10-month-old girl in the car. Reyes's 5-year-old daughter also was in the car, but was not hurt. The woman had apparently driven from Sacramento. There's no word on how the baby died. KFI is the talk station with the most frequent traffic reports presented by your Lexus dealers. Here's Barbara Brooks in the KFI Traffic Center.
South L.A., 110 northbound, just before 42nd Street is where you got a stalled car. It's in the third lane from the left. In the South Bay, watch out on the 405 freeway northbound just before Normandy for some debris in lanes. Costa Mesa, 55 southbound connectors to the 405 north and southbound closed. You also can't transition from the 405 northbound to the 55 southbound. This traffic report brought to you by Save-On. For over 58 years, Save-On's been helping moms take good care of their family's health with over 300 locations. Save-On is the most convenient drugstore in town. Save-On Drugs, use as needed. I'm Barbara Brooks in the KFI Traffic Center.
KFI News Time, 3 o'clock. In breaking news, South Korea is announcing the first deployment of more than 3,000 troops it plans to have in Iraq. The government says 900 soldiers will arrive in a northern city in August to assist with reconstruction efforts. A lawsuit by the state of California is targeting Enron. California Attorney General Bill Lockyer wants to recoup money for the state's electricity users, saying the company took illegal profits.
We don't think we'll get swept into the federal bankruptcy proceeding because of the nature of these state claims. We might actually be able to get some of the Enron assets before everyone else divides up the carcass.
Lockyer says Californians deserve to get $2 billion back. Fans of late Ray Charles have gathered to say goodbye. It was an open casket for the Grammy-winning musician at the Convention Center. His funeral is this morning. Charles died last week at 73. The news is brought to you by Taco Bell. At participating Taco Bell locations, discover fresh flavor with a Ranchero Chicken Soft Taco. It's packed with new marinated grill all-white meat chicken. When you want quality, think outside the bun. Southland Weather's next on AM 640. KFI News Time 303.
Hello, Southern California Information.
I'd like the number to a Mercedes-Benz dealer with low, low prices.
That's 1-800-MERCEDES. Hello, Southern California Information.
Yes, the number to a Mercedes-Benz dealer with zero money down.
That's 1-800-MERCEDES. Hello, Southern California Information.
Yeah, the number to a Mercedes-Benz dealer with finance options for almost anyone.
That's 1-800-MERCEDES.
No matter where you are in Southern California, dial 1-800-MERCEDES to reach a Mercedes-Benz dealer with an incredible price on the Mercedes-Benz of your dreams. And during our summer savings event, choose from an incredible selection of new Mercedes-Benz with zero money down. Offer on select models with above average credit ends July 5th.
Southern California Information.
Yes, the number to a Mercedes-Benz dealer, please.
That's 1-800-MERCEDES.
1-800-MERCEDES. Nobody beats the house.
This is the guy who taught you how to change a tire, how to haggle in a flea market, who didn't ground you when you came home late on that date. This is the guy you'll compare all your other loves to. So get him something more than a card.
Way to shop.
Shop and save during Macy's Great Weekend Sale. Take an extra 10 to 15% off sale and clearance price purchases when you use your Macy's Savings Pass. For her, take 25% off the entire stock of 2004 swimwear. Plus, enjoy 25 to 40% off sandals during the Ultimate Sandal Sale. Father's Day is just around the corner. Find the perfect gift at Macy's. Take 40 to 50% off men's sports shirts and save on the entire stock of men's shavers. Not sure what to give Dad on his special day? Give him a Macy's gift card and let him decide. Don't miss Macy's Great Weekend Sale. Plus, look in today's paper for the all-day weekend specials and Saturday 4-hour morning specials. Doors open at 9 a.m. on Saturday.
Macy's, way to shop.
The difference between DSL Extreme and your dial-up modem is the difference between night and day. First of all, with DSL Extreme, is $26.95 a month. You know, you're paying almost that much for an AOL dial-up. Why? With DSL Extreme, there's no waiting for downloads. They're almost instantaneous. You don't wait to connect. You don't tie up your phone lines. You get a great spam protection. No setup fee. The modem is free. 24-hour free tech support. And then all the bells and whistles. 10 email addresses, 10 websites. No pop-up ads or banner ads. No unwanted emails. Now, it doesn't make sense to do anything but DSL Extreme. I've been using it at my office for years. At home, of course, it's DSL. I used to pay almost $50 a month for this. It's $26.95 a month for DSL Extreme. The offer is good in most areas. Call them at 866-2-GET-NET. DSLExtreme.com on the net. 866-2-GET-NET.
So, we met on the internet, and I decided to email her, and then she emailed back, and the rest is history.
This is Skip Robbins.
And I'm Steve.
We're listening to Craig and Jackie from Anaheim Hills.
Real Robbins Brothers customers.
I said, can we go to Robbins Brothers this weekend? And he said, okay.
I just agreed with whatever she said. They were very, very good.
It's like, wow, this is nice because we had our own person who took care of us from, like, beginning to end.
I felt like I made the decision and the purchase on my own, but with their with their help. You know, they really thought about us. I guess from a guy's perspective, there's really good value for your money. If Skip and Steve were here, I would tell them, my wife is very happy.
You'll find Robbins Brothers in Canoga Park, Glendale, Torrance, Montclair, Fullerton, Mission Viejo, and San Diego.
Robbins Brothers, world's biggest engagement ring store.
The Bill Handel Radio Program.
You know there is no separation of church and state.
Oh, don't be an idiot! It's what the courts have said! Don't be stupid! There is no separation! Hey, there's nothing it says about it. There's no word of the Air Force in the Constitution either, you cretin!
Bill Handel, this morning, 5 to 9.
KFI, AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
South weather from KFI. Morning fog and clouds with a chance of drizzle. Partial afternoon clearing, high 78, low 64. Right now it's 64 in Brea, 63 in Manhattan Beach, and 62 degrees in L.A. KFI is the talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. At 3:06, I'm Rick Cruz, KFI News.
No one remembers your name when you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Places look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down.
From somewhere out there, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Okay, if you have a computer, get ready. Get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. We're going to go through a series of pictures and objects that William Henry will explain back in a moment.
Listen, gentlemen, more than 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. And that's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, and in some cases a diminished sex drive, Super Prostate Formula is for you. I use it, and I've had great results. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Teplisky. Super Prostate Formula combines nutrients that support the health of your prostate so that you can reclaim control. Why don't you join the legions of listeners who have had stunning results? This works, and when you order two bottles of Dr. Teplisky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido Formula, which is a natural alternative to your own vitality. Plus, they'll give you a groundbreaking book, The Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and a newsletter, $100 value, free as a gift. All of this guaranteed to work or your money back. And if you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund. But keep the bottles of the libido, the book, and the newsletter. Call 1-800-603-7277. 1-800-603-7277. 1-800-603-7277.
Why are millions of Americans embracing the Atkins approach? Is it because it helps them lose weight and feel great? Is it because 27 studies show that on the average, the Atkins approach actually lowers key risk factors for cardiovascular disease? Or is it because they love to eat? Now you can find out for yourself, because GNC and Atkins have teamed up to make the month of June the perfect time to try Atkins. Come into GNC and save 30% off all Atkins products through the end of June. Just another way Atkins can help.
Hi, Tom Baudette. As more people find their special someone on the internet, Motel6.com is in the matchmaking business too. After all, that's where you'll find Click 6 web bargains, big discounts at Motel 6 that are only available online. It's how eligible travelers find the deal of their dreams, and we won't even lie about our height. I'm Tom Baudette for Motel6.com. I'm an outdoorsy Pisces who likes long road trips and leaving the light on for you. And a core hotel.
This is KFI.
And And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest, William Henry. And if you have a computer, get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. If you don't, William, you're just going to have to illustrate for people by painting pictures in their mind, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you, by the way, for putting those up on the Coast site.
No, that's okay. Now, we talked a little bit about this in April when you were on, but let's talk about it again for those who might have missed it. The Resurrection Machine. Now, I've got that coming up here. And, by the way, this sketch, Dana also did a sketch, did he not, of the Resurrection Machine for you?
Yes, and that's on the front page of my site, williamhenry.net.
Okay. Very good, which will open up soon enough.
Yes.
When the multitudes have passed on.
That's right.
Now, what is this, the Resurrection Machine that I'm looking at?
The Resurrection Machine, this particular drawing, the sketch that you're looking at, comes from the Temple of Dendera from ancient Egypt. And what this is also known as is the Pillar of Osiris. And this was what I term a device that stood between 90 and 180 feet tall, having a telescopic ability. And what we see is that the platform upon which this Pillar of Osiris sits resembles in form and, I believe, function the biblical Ark of the Covenant. It's just a supersized version of the biblical Ark. The pillar that's attached to it is called the Shuti Pillar, which also means enlightenment. So this is a pillar of enlightenment that is attached to the Ark of the Covenant. This device, the complete device, according to Egyptian myth and legend, held the soul of the Savior Osiris. This soul was symbolized in hieroglyphics by a serpent. And so when you see images of it, it very often has a serpent protruding from it. And in the particular image that we're looking at, we see the platform, the ark-like platform, upon which the pillar sits. And there are two goddesses, Isis and Nephthys, on either side of this pillar, tending this pillar. This is a classic image that you see when you look at the Ark of the Covenant, where you see the two cherubim, the two angels, facing one another. But what's missing in the Hebrew version of the Ark is the pillar attachment that was put in between those two angels or goddesses.
Now, are we looking at what could very well be, then, the Ark of the Covenant?
That is what my surmise is that, yes, that we are looking at the original Ark of the Covenant. I have maintained in several of my books and continue to support this with additional research that there is indeed a missing piece to the Ark of the Covenant. There was a pillar that was attached to it that may well be the rod of Aaron, which means enlightenment, that the Bible refers to. And when it's portrayed in the Egyptian version, we see this pillar protruding or attached to the Ark of the Covenant, and we see gods and goddesses, particularly goddesses, usually operating this complete device.
It looks like an antenna, doesn't it?
It does look like an antenna, because that's, again, what myth and legend says it was. This antenna was capable of beaming a tone, frequency, or vibration of life.
Why is it called the Resurrection Machine?
I call it that because the ancient Egyptians said that this device was, in fact, Osiris, their god, their savior figure, and god of resurrection. So it's possible that Osiris was not an actual man, although some believe that he was. But likely he was this device which is actually, in addition to being a device or a technology, is symbolic or representative of a whole array of scientific principles that includes physics, that includes astronomy, that includes anatomy, and about four or five other key sciences drop out of this basic symbol system.
Now explain what this graphic underneath this looks like. It looks like a couple horns or something.
What we are looking at there, George, is a modern depiction of a wormhole.
Going in and coming out.
Yes. And okay. So you're seeing the open mouth of the wormhole. You're seeing a tube that then connects to the second open mouth of the wormhole. And what I'm doing in this first illustration is comparing the way modern science portrays a wormhole with the ship that is resting upon the Ark of the Covenant in the Egyptian depiction from the Temple of Dendera.
They do look similar.
They're strikingly similar. And Egyptian myth and legend says that what we are actually looking at is the ship of the gods, the serpent ship of the gods. Now, this is very important to us in our age, because Mayan scholar John Major Jenkins has told us that 2,300 years ago, the Mayans said that in December of 2012, a serpent rope is going to emerge from the center of our Milky Way galaxy, and from out of this serpent rope is going to appear a god of enlightenment, or a group of enlightened beings.
The serpent rope could be the wormhole, right?
Exactly. That's what John maintains, is that you can interchange the archaic Mayan term serpent rope with the modern scientific term wormhole, and you have what the Mayans are describing. So what I've attempted to do is to go into other civilizations, cultures, mythologies, including Egypt, and look for evidence of the gods riding through the stars upon serpents. Asking the question, is it possible that when we see a god riding upon a serpent in this way, or when we see a ship of the gods in the shape of a serpent, are we actually describing or looking at an archaic depiction of a wormhole in its simplified form? And I'm just absolutely stunned sometimes to see the manner in which modern representations of the wormhole as portrayed here match what we see on the temple walls in ancient Egypt.
Why do they deal in these kinds of symbols, William? Why don't they just spell it right out and tell us what they were thinking?
Well, because John Anthony West, the Egyptologist, answers this best. You could write 1,000 pages about a scene such as this, but what the ancient Egyptians used were what we might describe today as cartoons. In a cartoon, you can convey a tremendous amount of information in one scene, if you know what the symbolism that's represented in the cartoon actually represents. And that's why I feel they portrayed it this way. We're talking again about basic archetypal symbolism that is very cosmic in nature and has a profound spiritual foundation.
This is fascinating. Okay, let's go to the next illustration, which is Dendera. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, Dendera.
Dendera 1.
Mm-hmm.
Dendera 1.
Yes.
What is this?
Now, this is a very interesting image. It comes from the crypt at Dendera, and it's pretty famous. We made a beeline for the crypt at Dendera just to see this bas-relief on the temple wall there. And what it is, it's the image that Eric von Däniken maintains as a light bulb. We see two pillars, called Tet pillars or power pillars, holding up what appear to be bulbs with serpents or filaments inside of the bulbs. And that's a very profound image. Zechariah Sitchin's written about it. Moira Timms has written about it. Graham Hancock has written about it. And nobody is exactly sure what we're looking at in this image. It could be a cathode ray tube in some people's opinion. It could be filaments of a light bulb in other people's opinion. But it's very interesting that a very profound wordplay comes into effect here. The Hebrew word for serpent is nahash, and the Hebrew word for soul is neshama. So the terms come from the same root and are therefore interchangeable to some extent. And I wonder if we're possibly looking at some sort of a grail or holy grail type device that is actually housing a serpent soul, and that this in fact is some means of transporting a soul or actually housing it.
All right.
This is a very important place, by the way, George, because the Egyptian term Dendera, it's called the house of bread. This is a place where the food, the pure food of the gods, the manna, was created. And it's very interesting that the word Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, also means house of bread. And I've gone out on a limb to speculate that the Temple of Dendera, where this image was found, may actually have been the actual biblical Bethlehem.
Does Lawrence Gardner believe that manna was white gold, that white powder gold?
Yes, yes, he does.
That's what I thought.
And he was constantly in my thoughts when we were in Egypt, because temple after temple shows the pharaohs serving the gods, the manna in the form of the bread cakes, which he's interpreted as the white powder, the manna.
Let's go to Dendera number two. Difficult to see, but you can still make it out. What is this? What are we looking at?
Well, again, several authors have written about that mysterious image in the crypt at Dendera, but what I've found is that there are actually two additional representations of that same scene within the Temple of Dendera. Never before have I seen these published, not anywhere, not on the internet, not in any books on Egyptology, nowhere. And I was just absolutely, just incredibly excited to come upon these images. The top one that you're looking at comes from a room that they describe as the perfumery, where the offerings were made to the goddess Hathor. And we can see that some of the images are still in color, which is very important. And then the bottom one comes from the Temple of Isis, located behind the Temple of Dendera. And so what we see here is the third representation of this scene of the Tet, or power pillar, uplifting the serpent in the jar or the tube. So they were repeating this image over and over at Dendera because it, in my view, was the key image, or one of the key images at this temple. And it's something that we still don't have fully decoded yet.
Anything surprise you out there?
Well, yeah, one of the things that surprised me is that everything you see on the surface in Egypt, George, is deception. The real business goes on underground.
In more ways than one, I'm sure.
In more ways than one, because you'll constantly be walking around a temple and you'll see a stairway going downstairs that's closed off to the public. You'll see a hole in the ground where they've got underground facilities. And so what we see on the surface is pretty much just, I think, markers for what actually goes on underground. We know that's true on the Giza Plateau, and I'm sure it's true at many of these other temples that we're discussing this evening.
You know, I still think that the Egyptians might have found the Hall of Records that Edgar Cayce talked about and that they've hidden them from us. I don't know. It's just my gut feeling.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, because the pyramid's in a state of lockdown right now. Many of the chambers are locked off to tourists. And, of course, you've heard about the wall that they're building on the one side, and they've got this fencing going around on other areas of the plateau. So you just get the sense that they're really locking the whole place down right now.
And what do you think the reason is?
Well, my personal take is that they're either trying to keep something from getting in or something from getting out.
Something from getting out.
Probably.
Who knows what it is. Okay, the next one, of course, is one of my favorite spots, Abydos. And we've had a picture up before that looked like a helicopter. This
yes.
is interesting. This looks like the Ark again.
Yes, that's exactly what we're looking at. That is one of the original depictions of the resurrection machine, with the Ark as the platform and the pillar attached to it. And this, of course, is in the Osiris Chapel at Abydos, considered to be Egypt's holiest site. For thousands of years, if you were an Egyptian, you made a pilgrimage to Abydos. And you would, if you were lucky, you would walk through and perceive the symbols here in the Osiris Chapel. And I had just been dying to go there for several years, because I've been, of course, writing about this pillar and wanted to see it in situ, so to speak. I had been to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, where they pulled slabs out of Abydos and have those on display. But it's a completely other thing to actually go to the chapel and see the entire scene, the entire environment. And so this is one of the pictures of the Pillar of Osiris in color on the wall in the Osiris Chapel at Abydos.
Is that the original color, William?
I believe it is, George, yeah, because it's very well preserved inside.
It sure
there.
Is.
And it looks to me like it's original. Some of them you can tell that they've gone back and
touched
tampered with it, but
yeah.
Not this one. And beneath it, I'm standing there looking at this, the Pillar of Osiris, and it was indeed a real pilgrimage for me. And then across the hall is where we see the picture that I'm presenting beneath it. And what we see is the ship of the gods, once again, the lotus ship, or the serpent ship of the gods, with the pillar attached to it. But now what has happened is the pharaoh, presumably Seti, the king, has transformed into the pillar, into the mast of the ship, and now he is riding the serpent ship. And, of course, the way I interpret this is that this is the transformation of the king or pharaoh into his resurrected light being, into Osiris. Now he's prepared to ride the ship of the gods. And I should mention too, George, that I put together about 7 hours of video that's available now from the Egypt trip, called Egypt Stargate Discoveries. And I have all of this on video, including walkthroughs of some of these temples and these chapels. So if anyone's interested, they can go to my site and get a copy of those videos.
The serpent ship, as you were talking about as well. Now, what are the, on this next image, what are the two, are they coins that I'm looking at with Christ and a serpent? What is that?
Yes, what you're looking at there, George, is a gold coin from Germany from the 16th century. It's called the German Thaler. This is the word Thaler is the root of our word dollar. And on the one side, we see a traditional image of the crucifixion of Jesus on the cross. And on the other side is the Gnostic or esoteric Christian version of the crucifixion, which shows a serpent winding around the cross. Now, this is tied directly into those images we just saw a moment ago at Dendera. And the link comes from a reference that Jesus himself makes in the book of John, where he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, just like it's portrayed lifted up at Dendera, so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Why this apparent obsession with a serpent?
Well, the serpent is the basic symbol, the basic universal symbol. It's the symbol for wisdom, it's the symbol for transformation, it's the symbol for life, it's the symbol for life force energy, the kundalini. And today, I'm attempting to uplift the serpent symbolism and look at it, view it in the context of Stargate or wormhole symbolism. And whether or not that's exactly what's portrayed here on the Gnostic coin, I can't say for sure that they intended to say that the crucifixion was a Stargate event. But I believe that we can take the myths and symbols of the crucifixion and these other depictions that we're looking at and apply it to modern Stargate or wormhole theory and derive tremendous benefit from that activity.
You know, William, Zachariah Sitchin has devoted most of his career to the Sumerian tablets. And, you know, some people hold it up for interpretation. But clearly, if you look at those tablets, you can see that there's an extra something in the solar system, and you can see objects. Why, and this is what I don't understand, how come mainstream people just don't accept that?
Well, in a lot of instances, to be perfectly honest with you, George, and this has been my experience with some mainstream academics, they have a worldview to uphold, and all comers are going to get knocked off the mountain. And because they have rules, they have rulers. And if you challenge those rules and rulers, you are subject to being disparaged. You're subject to be discredited, to in every way, shape, and form be put through the ringer, so to speak. And that's a large part of it. Many of these people are extremely egotistical. They're fanatics, has been my experience with some of these scholars. I've been challenged to debates by these people who refuse to even consider another point of view besides their own.
Stay with us. William Henry, our guest. His website, you may be able to get into it now. Give it a try. If you can't, just, you know, you'll get there. WilliamHenry.net. Back in a moment.
The After Dark newsletter is $39.95. Subscribe now and get your free CD of Art Bell and Malachi Martin. Call now, 1-888-727-5505.
on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks.
I'm Rick Cruz in the KFI News Center. State Attorney General Bill Lockyer is suing Enron, charging it manipulated prices during California's energy crisis, costing ratepayers hundreds of millions of dollars. The suit seeks restitution and damages from the Houston-based energy giant. Candles and American flags from friends and relatives as they pray for a hostage threatened with death in Saudi Arabia. About 100 people gathered in Paul Johnson's hometown in New Jersey, more than 200 in a Florida community where he once lived. His kidnappers say they'll kill him today. The Army colonel in charge of intelligence at the Iraq prison where inmates were abused last year says he was under pressure to come up with better information. A sworn statement obtained by USA Today says that pressure came from the Pentagon, the CIA, and the White House. Southland weather from KFI, morning fog and clouds with a chance of drizzle. Partial afternoon clearing, high 78, low 64. The news is brought to you by Easy Lube. Want the best oil change? Visit Easy Lube today. The National Operators of the Year, over 50 convenient Easy Lube locations. Easy Lube, it's a hard road. They make it easy. Visit the Tarzana Easy Lube at Ventura Boulevard and Reseda. KFI is the talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half and when it breaks. I'm Rick Cruz in the KFI News Center.
Traffic presented by Lexus.
I'm Barbara Brooks in the KFI Traffic Center. San Clemente 5 southbound before Avenida Vista Hermosa. Pickup truck facing sideways. It's blocking the fast lane. Tustin 5 southbound at Tustin Ranch Road. Four right lanes closed for Caltrans work. Irvine 5 northbound at Alton Parkway. You've got the right lane taken away. Bell 710 southbound past Florence. Stall car plugging up the fast lane. This traffic report brought to you by Pechanga Casino. The excitement of Vegas without the long drive. That's Pechanga, California's best four diamond resort and casino. Call and get the $99 package for two, 1-877-711-2946. For Lexus dealers, I'm Barbara Brooks in the KFI Traffic Center.
I have been a customer of AIS, Auto Insurance Specialists, for over 10 years. That's how long I've been telling you about these folks. They have saved me literally tens of thousands of dollars over the years, money that I don't pay or haven't paid for insurance that I would be quoted from other insurance companies. Boy, is that impressive. Not only do I want you to compare what you're now paying to what AIS is going to charge you, you call these folks and they're going to give you the rates of insurance companies like Geico or Progressive and many more. And you can compare for yourself. So why would you call anyone else? They reshop their carriers at every renewal to make sure your coverage works, that you're still saving the most amount of money. They have multiple policy discounts. I have both auto and homeowners, which means I save an additional 15% on top of the already great price. They do renter's insurance. Call them at 1-800-777-4AIS, AISinsurance.com on the net, 1-800-777-4AIS.
It doesn't matter if one person is offended, because there are a lot of people with mental illnesses who are offended over all sorts of stupid things. We get the email every day. The people with the greatest emotional problems have the greatest sway when it comes to legal cases. That's the psycho-obsessive part of the ACLU.
John and Ken today at 3.
On KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
Here are the basic contest rules for KFI AM 640. All entrants to any KFI AM 640 contest agree to obey the rules of the contest. All prizes must be accepted as awarded. Inability of winners to accept the prizes will result in forfeiture. If the prize includes travel, lodging, entertainment, or a special event, winner is responsible for all taxes, expenses, and gratuities. Winner agrees that acceptance of any trip taken as a prize from KFI AM 640 does so entirely upon their own initiative, risk, and responsibility. Winner will permit KFI AM 640 to use their name, voice, and or likeness for promotional purposes. No purchase necessary. KFI AM 640 retains the right to amend these rules and regulations at any time for any reason. Full contest rules available during regular business hours at KFI's offices or on the web at kfi640.com/contest-rules.html.
Your morning lowdown.
Bill Handel, this morning, 5 to 9, KFI AM 640.
Getting lonely, getting old, can you feel me? Hey you, standing in the aisles with itchy feet and fading smile. Can you feel me? Hey, you, don't help them to bury the light.
This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
At the top of the hour, we'll open up the phone lines to give you an opportunity to chat with mythologist William Henry. But we'll continue our dialogue. When we come back, we're going to start looking at the pictures now of the people who are dancing, and they look, I'll tell you what, they look like flying saucers. I mean, William's absolutely right. After Dark newsletter, you get that every month, and you have all kinds of stories. We've highlighted stories about William Henry in the After Dark newsletter in the past. You get these great issues every month. You will also get a free CD, but there's only two more days left, and then that is it. It is over. As a matter of fact, if I count today, it's 2 days. Tomorrow, it's the last day. June 18th, that is it. The date is cast in stone. The CD, Malachi Martin, will not be available anymore. So, last-minute shoppers, rush. Here you go. 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online at coasttocoastam.com. You know, most reading lamps are either too bright or they're too dim, aren't they? You put in a bright bulb and you get grumbling from the pillow next to yours, sorta. Or you try a lower watt bulb and you get, you know, that squinty-eyed look. Well, there's a better way to read at night. It's called the Ionic Reading Lamp from the C. Crane Company. It has a cluster of 20 LEDs sitting at the head of a slender, infinitely adjustable neck, all of it cascading out of a heavy base with a tiny footprint. The Ionic lamp gives off soft, bright, cool light that you can aim right at the page. Perfect. It's energy efficient as well. At just 3 cents per week, it actually pays for itself while you finally get to read comfortably in bed. Call the C. Crane Company to order your own Ionic reading lamp for $119.95. And that includes free ground shipping. You can see the Ionic lamp at ccradio.com, or you can give them a call. 6:30 in the morning Pacific time. The phones open up, by the way, at 800-522-8863. That number again for the Ionic reading lamp or a free C. Crane catalog, 800-522-8863. You can also go to the web at ccradio.com. The C. Crane Company. Discover something new today. How would you like to feel 10 years younger in 10 weeks? There's proof that the effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH, human growth hormone. For some time now, I've been talking about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH, and according to thousands of articles, higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger, and that's why people take Ultimate HGH. Now, this is a natural formula to help boost your body's own production of HGH. It's not a pharmaceutical. If your goal is to help improve energy and stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance your memory, build up that immune function, Ultimate HGH is for you. And when you order 2 bottles of Ultimate HGH, you'll get number 3 absolutely free, a great savings off what you'd pay for comparable products. And with that order, a free book on HGH, that's a $20 value. So call this number, 1-800-557-4627, 1-800-557-4627. This is Ultimate HGH, 1-800-557-4627.
Let's see. Single multivitamin seeking someone with lofty goals, specifically improving heart health. Must enjoy long walks along the medicine cabinet.
Multivitamin Meet Tri-Omega, the first once-a-day omega-3 supplement. So concentrated and pure, just one Tri-Omega soft gel daily gives you all the omega-3s you need to improve the health of your heart, mind, and joints. Look for the silver and blue package wherever vitamins are sold.
Wanted, apartment for two.
Tri-Omega, the essential complement to your multivitamin.
Ever wonder what it's really like at Area 51? Well, pack your essentials. Go to coasttocoastam.com and enter for a chance to win the essential After Dark experience from Tri-Omega, the essential complement to your multivitamin. You'll win a trip for two to Las Vegas, a guided tour of Area 51, and a night of supernatural entertainment by one of the Strip's top acts. To enter and get official rules, visit coasttocoastam.com by midnight Pacific time, June 27, 2004. No purchase necessary. Void in Rhode Island and where prohibited. Open to continental U.S. residents 18 or older.
And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. William Henry's website is up and running, by the way. I got into it really fast. So it seems to be going okay. Now back to the pictures, of course, of the wormhole dance. The dervish, is that what you call it?
Yes, he's a whirling dervish. This is a traditional mystical Islamic dance.
He does look like a spaceship.
He does. I mean, there's no question about it. And again, the word dervish means doorway, or one who is at the doorway to enlightenment. And according to the research that I've done on the dervish dance, they're twirling. He's standing in place, and this twirling is actually a form of prayer, George. It's by doing this twirling, this spinning, they feel that they're tapping into a hyper-consciousness, and the very act of spinning then becomes an act of love, an offering, if you will, to Allah, which incidentally in one interpretation means delight. So that's what we're looking at here, is a dance where the individual is transforming himself through this trance dance. And again, I was just absolutely stunned when he's spinning, and all of a sudden he turns, his skirt turns into the shape of a UFO that is just so unmistakable.
Did other people recognize that too?
Yes.
The group you were with?
Yeah, in fact, we hired him to perform for us privately so that we could videotape it. And one of the gentlemen on the trip said, if I hadn't seen this with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed it. Because it's one of those definitely see it, you have to see it to believe it kind of a things. And I think one of the reasons I'm probably the first to, as far as I can tell, I'm the first to connect the whirling dervish dance to this concept of the wormhole, is because in this instance, this dancer is part of a group that is taking the traditional dance and bringing it more into somewhat of a modern context. Now, again, I spoke with him afterward, and he didn't seem to say that he was trying to create a wormhole here. He was just trying to demonstrate the process of unifying heaven and earth, which is exactly the purpose of a wormhole.
I tell you, I think it was picture number 3 where he looks exactly like an unidentified flying object. I mean, it's uncanny.
He is, in that moment right there, Elijah in the whirlwind. He is Ezekiel in his chariot riding into the heavens. He is all of the figures that we see in the biblical literature, as well as other myths and legends of figures that ascend into the heavens in a whirlwind.
Now tell me, what is the Hebrew word for the UFO?
Merkaba, spelled Merkaba. Sometimes it's spelled Merkava. And it's part of the Kabbalistic tradition, the mystic Jewish tradition, and that refers to the chariot of the gods, to use a term that Eric von Däniken borrowed.
You believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that we were visited in the past, don't you?
Oh, I absolutely do. And in fact, I think this dance actually ties into that. And the reason that I think that is because I'm a big proponent of the theory put forth by Sitchin, that when the Anunnaki came here, they had a hand in tinkering with our DNA. And now, of course, Sitchin says they came here to mine gold, but mind you, in alchemical terms, the words gold and soul, as in our human soul, are interchangeable, because the purpose of alchemy is to transmute our impure soul into a pure soul. So I believe that Enki, the creator god of the Anunnaki, the leader of the Anunnaki, called Enki or Ea, created the human body as this resurrection machine that I'm describing. That's the purpose of our body, from the soul's perspective. And it's very interesting that when the mystical Islamic poet Rumi came upon this dance, he was walking through the goldsmith area in Turkey. And he heard beautiful music and the craftsman's hammering, and Rumi, this poet, famous poet, began turning in harmony. And in his verses that he wrote about this dance, he emphasized how music or tones uplift our spirit or our soul to the realms above. And then he says, we hear the tunes of the gates of heaven, or the gates of paradise. Now, the interesting thing about this, George, is that I've just given you an alchemical story. because the goldsmith is the alchemist. And Enki, or Ea, the creator god of the Sumerian tradition, was the god of smithcraft or alchemy.
Well, that's true. The picture number four, by the way, looks exactly like a wormhole.
Yes, it does. You look at this, and that's why my jaw was on the floor, because he has clearly transformed by bringing in the second skirt and having it spinning. That is A to B. When you compare that image with the current or modern-day conception of a wormhole, they are absolutely identical.
I'll tell you what else is kind of peculiar, because we've always known that UFOs were spinning, just like he's doing.
Yes. And what this refers to, I think, George, in my opinion, is the transformation of consciousness. What we're seeing here is a human being who is a cocoon in his original spinning state, who transforms into the butterfly, into his ascended form, and is now capable of traveling through the wormholes. And for my money, I don't know where Rumi really got this dance. Was it taught by some extraterrestrial being? It is clearly some form of an enlightenment teaching. And it may well be the Gnostic Christians, the esoteric Christians, always talked about a round dance that Jesus performed for the disciples. And I wonder if that round dance is this spinning, whirling dervish dance where he demonstrated in a ritualistic format the process, the transformation that each of our souls undergoes.
I don't think I've ever asked you this, but in the beginning, how did you get interested in mythology? What happened?
I read Holy Blood, Holy Grail in college. That was in 1982. It was an international bestseller. And in fact, it's the book that inspired Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code.
And you were hooked right after that, huh?
Instantly hooked, because this book, the Holy Blood, Holy Grail, was my first introduction to the Gnostic Christian story. I'd always heard growing up, I was confirmed an Episcopalian, you know, good Detroit Episcopalian, and you hear the story about Jesus, the whole descriptive story, the Nicene Creed, effectively. And then what Holy Blood, Holy Grail introduced me to was that over here on the other side is the religion of Jesus, which is completely different. And that was the power pack that got me driving to try to fully uncover what is this missing, this hidden or secret religion of Jesus that's not talked about publicly.
When you were in Egypt, did you run into Zahi Hawass?
Oh, no. Fortunately not. We had a wonderful time in Egypt, so we didn't get to see him.
No, you say fortunately not. The jury is out on him, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. In fact, the Egyptians preferred that we would, you know, kind of avoid contact. I mean, it's just one of those things. And I don't know the man. I'm just kind of maybe errantly here repeating what people say. And
well, I hear mixed things about him too. I mean, I've heard things that he's a profiteer, that he has lined his own pockets with some of these antiquities. And then you hear from people like Glenn Kimball who say that he's the world's greatest guy. So,
yeah.
You know, you don't know what's going on. But I've heard some strange things. I'm not sure the Egyptians like the guy.
They don't. The ones that I spent time with and encountered just don't seem to hold him in the highest regard. He's been appointed for life, and maybe one of these tyrants that they're glad to see that someone's finally standing up to.
Appointed for life?
Appointed for life, yeah.
How did he get that position?
That's a good question. That's part of, I guess, the tradition in the Muslim world, the Middle East, is like Hosni Mubarak is president of Egypt. He's appointed for life.
Yeah, until he dies.
Exactly.
Which they thought happened, but he is still alive and kicking. No doubt.
So there's no question in my mind, though, that they're locking down a lot of those temples over there. It's still completely and totally worthwhile to go see. I mean, it is absolutely a life-changing experience. And as I said, I'll be going back next year, and we'll be putting up information if anybody would like to go. And if they can't make it, then they can certainly order the Egypt Stargate Discovery DVDs that I have on my site. Very, very worthwhile.
By the way, a meteorite has fallen into a house in Australia. And the meteor was the size, they said, of a house.
Huh. Wow.
Boom.
That's pretty dangerous.
Sure is. Absolutely. Space. You know, they once said it's the final frontier. I'm not sure. I think there's one beyond that.
I once had a, yeah, you mean like a hyperspace kind of a thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I totally agree. In fact, I'm working on a book right now called Empire of the Illuminati, which is all about dark matter and the hidden matter of our universe. I mean, as much as 70 to 80, maybe even 90% of the known matter in the universe is unaccounted for. And so in these dark regions, these black regions or hidden regions, there is the area that we're beginning to probe and beginning to access. And so I feel that when we're describing the disappearance of these gods, that they may well have entered into these dark or hidden realms. And that is the actual empire of these god beings or the Illuminati.
Now, when you're talking about the Illuminati, you're not talking about the globalists, are you?
No, and I'm glad you brought that up, George, because people do get confused. They right off the bat think of David Icke's Illuminati, a global conspiracy that's out to control everybody. And the Illuminati that I'm describing goes back to virtually the beginning of time, to the traditions of the illumined ones, of the shining ones, of the beings that traditionally in this context possessed the secrets of transforming an ordinary human into the light being or into an illumined or Illuminati. So in my research, I'm not particularly interested in the conspiracy theories, in the who's who in the playlist, and who's doing what to whom. What I'm interested in are the secrets that they are withholding from the average individual, the secrets of how do you kickstart the divine birthright within us to fully activate this human body, what we call the human body, but which the ancients, I feel, referred to as a resurrection machine. Each of our bodies has tremendous capabilities that the globalists, the conspiracists, seek to prevent us from fully accessing. And those are the secrets that I'm interested in. So when I refer to the Illuminati, like in my books, The Cloak of the Illuminati or Oracle of the Illuminati, that's what I'm referring to.
What great secret would you like to see unfold here?
I would like to see the secret that this dance is revealing. How my soul is inhabiting a body, a flesh and blood body, but this is not my native habitat. My soul's native habitat, it's currently dwelling within this house that's made in the image of God, according to myth and scripture. I would like to know, how does the soul unfold? How does it return to its source? How do I access the umbilical cord that will enable my soul to return to the cosmic mother, to the source? Nothing wrong with Earth life. I've had a wonderful time here. It's a terrific place. But frankly, I'd like to go home. And that's what I'm interested in. Where is the gate that has been closed to us, going back to the whole Garden of Eden story? Where is that gate that once we open it with our soul, with our bodies, which I feel is part of the key to opening that door, how do we go home? Where's that umbilical cord, the serpent rope, the wormhole?
By the way, somebody has told me that the asteroid was the size of a baseball that fell into a house. It wasn't the size of a house that
fell into
a house.
That's a big difference, because I was going to say, if it's about the size of a house, isn't that what created the crater out there in Arizona?
Almost. I thought that was a little strange when I saw that come in earlier. The next travel for you next year, do you know where you're going?
Well, I'm going back to France in July of next year with a group. And I'll be going to I'm setting up a tour of Australia in January.
What are you doing there?
Just a book and lecture tour of several cities. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And then I'm sure Egypt is already in the planning work, so we'll be going back to Egypt. We left a lot of research on the ground during this first trip, and so I'm wanting to go back and probe things a little bit further.
Do you make every trip an expedition, will you?
I try to, because there's always questions. We're constantly trying to gain new research and new knowledge. And I love going with groups, because you really do get a group mind going. And you never know who's coming along. And like when we went to Egypt, we had just tremendous resources to draw from, of people that were professionals in various disciplines that shared the excitement, that had come to Egypt for the first time and are looking at the pyramids with the same awe and wonder. And it just becomes a true expedition, where you're constantly talking about what you're seeing and trying to come to some kind of a conclusion, not really a conclusion, but you're trying to gain insight into what it is that you're seeing.
I would love to see you on an expedition in search of Noah's Ark.
Well, you never know. You never know.
Well,
I'm going to Washington, D.C. this weekend, and what I'm going to do there is research the National Mall and some of the astrological monuments in D.C., and once again comparing them with the National Mall's twin pillar or tower here in Nashville, the Tennessee Bicentennial Capitol Mall. A lot of stuff here in our own backyard.
That's what I hear. Have you ever investigated the Denver airport, William?
Yes, I have. Every time I fly through it, I kind of keep my eyes wide open, and some funny business going on out there. Another place I'm going this summer, early fall, is Serpent Mound in Adams County, Ohio.
Why do they call it that?
Well, they have this...
I could guess, right?
Right. There's in the shape of a serpent, there's this mound there that goes back. It's been conservatively dated to approximately 5,000 years of age. And there's some just extraordinary energy around this place. Some crop circles have even appeared nearby. And it sits right up there on the top of the Cincinnati Arch in Adams County, Ohio. And that arch drops right down in here into the state of Tennessee. And along the way, you have Mammoth Cave, Kentucky, which even Jules Verne wrote about Mammoth Cave as being some kind of an inner earth opening. And so I'm investigating the Serpent Mound mysteries and then also what's going on there at Mammoth Cave and relating them to what's going on here in Nashville.
How would you like, William, to go on a journey to the center of the earth? Would you do that?
I have a feeling that that's the ultimate destination of these mysteries, that the place we're looking for will ultimately lead you into the inner earth.
You may be right. Stay with us. Your phone calls are next with William Henry right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.
Hi, this is Rich Murata for Regalia Mortgage. And if you haven't locked in the lowest fixed rates that the mortgage industry has seen in the last 40 years, you better do it now. Your time's running out. Now, if you're one of those people who's kicking yourself because you haven't taken advantage of the interest rate when it was in the 4% range, take down this phone number, 866-576-FUND, 866-576-FUND. That's Regalia Mortgage, and they have a variety of options for you to take advantage so that you can put money in your pocket from your mortgage refinance. Regalia Mortgage is offering what it calls its Freedom Loan that offers the lowest monthly payment and interest rate on the market today. I'm talking about a payment of only $264 for every $100,000 loan balance, 1.25% interest rate, 3.95% APR. Call Regalia Mortgage now, 866-576-FUND, 866-576-FUND.
Want to talk about it with your family doctor? Call Lifestyle Pharmaceuticals. Order the real Viagra for as low as $6 a dose. In just minutes over the phone, answer a few health questions for our doctor. Upon doctor's approval, your Viagra will be delivered discreetly in just 2 days. It's easy, convenient, and completely confidential. Viagra by phone. Call now, 1-800-407-6252, 1-800-407-6252. Again, 1-800-407-6252.
Would you like to try Cialis, Viagra's new competition? Cialis is faster acting and lasts up to 4 times longer than Viagra, and now you can order Cialis over the phone for as little as $6 per dose. Call Lifestyle Pharmaceuticals. Answer a few confidential health questions, and upon doctor's approval, your Cialis is delivered discreetly in just 2 business days. Call 1-800-407-6252. That's 1-800-407-6252.
KFI, Southern California's newsroom.
Greg Heidel, Kyle Knockrider, and Spann each face multiple felony charges for allegedly raping an unconscious teenage girl.
We're on it.
Southern California's KFI.
Los Angeles.
News on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks.
There's evidence that terror filled the air on 9/11. Good morning, I'm Rick Cruz with the 4 o'clock news on KFI. Emotionally charged communication thought to be from a hijacker on 9-11. The 9-11 Commission has released recordings of what is believed to be the alleged ringleader of the terror attacks, Mohammed Atta, speaking from the cockpit of hijacked American Airlines Flight 11.
My debris is going back to the airport.
Flight 11 took off from Boston and was the first plane to hit the World Trade Center. This was the first transmission air traffic controllers heard.
We have some planes that stay quiet and it'll be okay. We're returning to the airport.
Minutes later, Flight 11 hit the World Trade Center towers. KFI is the talk station with the most frequent traffic reports presented by your Lexus dealers. Here's Barbara Brooks in the KFI Traffic Center.
North Hollywood, 134 westbound connector to the 170 northbound. Closed for Caltrans work. Downtown L.A., 110 southbound. Transition to the 10 eastbound. Shut down. Bellflower, 91 westbound, 605 to Lakewood. You've got the three right lanes taken away. And Caltrans working in Costa Mesa, 55 southbound. Connectors to the 405 north and southbound closed. 405 northbound. Transition to the 55 southbound also closed. This traffic report brought to you by Knott's Theme Park. Here comes the fun at Knott's Berry Farm. Adults save $17 with a coupon from participating Carl's Jr. restaurants. And kids 3 to 11 are almost $12.95. That's the lowest kids price in town, only at Knott's. I'm Barbara Brooks in the KFI Traffic Center.
KFI News Time 401. A 27-year-old woman has been charged with murdering her 10-month-old daughter. Feliciana Reyes was pulled over for going 95 miles an hour on the southbound Golden State Freeway near Castaic and told a CHP officer she had a baby's body in the back seat. Authorities believe the baby girl was killed in Sacramento. Saudi police by the thousands are searching for an American hostage threatened with death. Paul Johnson works for a defense contractor, Lockheed Martin. Terrorists who kidnapped him last weekend say they will kill him today if Al-Qaeda prisoners aren't freed. And former L.A. police chief turned councilman Bernard Parks has made it official as he's campaigning to become mayor of L.A. The news is brought to you by Homefield Financial. Looking for the lowest interest rates in today's market? Call Homefield Financial at 1-800-400-SAVE. Call now and get rates as low as 4.125%. Call 1-800-400-SAVE. Not all applicants qualify. APR is based on $250,000 first lien loan and is subject to increase, licensed by the California Department of Corporations under CRMLA. Southland Weather's next on AM 640, KFI News Time, 403.
Hi, this is Karen Sharp. Wouldn't you just love to erase those tiny fine lines and wrinkles on your face so you can look the very best that you can? Well, you can with Chamonix Esotique. Unlike department store cosmetics, the antioxidants in Chamonix Esotique are so effective, you'll see results in 3 to 4 weeks or your money back. Order a 4-month supply of Esotique today, and for the first time this year, you'll get a full 4-month supply of the Deep Firming Serum. Free, plus free shipping. Call 800-SKIN-211. 800-SKIN-211. The combination of Esotique and the Deep Firming Serum is absolutely amazing. I love the all-natural ingredients in Esotique, like grapeseed extract, vitamin E, and calendula extract. It just makes me feel good about putting it on my skin. And with the collagen-building Deep Firming Serum, my skin has never looked more radiant. Don't waste any more money on products that don't work. Order Esotique today and get a 4-month supply of Deep Firming Serum free and free shipping. Call 800-SKIN-211. 800-SKIN-211.
This is the guy who taught you how to change a tire, how to haggle in a flea market, who didn't ground you when you came home late on that date. This is the guy you'll compare all your other loves to. So get him something more than a card.
Way to shop.
Shop and save during Macy's Great Weekend Sale. Take an extra 10 to 15% off sale and clearance price purchases when you use your Macy's Savings Pass. For her, take 25% off the entire stock of 2004 swimwear. Plus, enjoy 25 to 40% off sandals during the Ultimate Sandal Sale. Father's Day is just around the corner. Find the perfect gift at Macy's. Take 40 to 50% off men's sports shirts and save on the entire stock of men's shavers. Not sure what to give Dad on his special day? Give him a Macy's gift card and let him decide. Don't miss Macy's Great Weekend Sale. Plus, look in today's paper for the all-day weekend specials and Saturday 4-hour morning specials. Doors open at 9 a.m. on Saturday.
Macy's, way to shop.
America has trusted Roto-Rooter for drain cleaning for over 50 years. People have come to love Roto-Rooter's on-time, dependable service. But did you know Roto-Rooter does a whole lot more than just drain cleaning? Roto-Rooter technicians fix plumbing problems, replace water heaters, install copper pipes, and even replace underground lines without ruining your lawn. 24 hours a day, a live Roto-Rooter customer care specialist will answer your call and schedule a free estimate. Roto-Rooter gives you the peace of mind that your job was done right the first time. Trust America's number one plumber for all plumbing, pipe, leak, or repair needs. And yes, they still clean drains. Call Roto-Rooter at 1-800-GET-ROTO. That's 1-800-GET-ROTO. One call does it all. 1-800-GET-ROTO. Or now schedule service online at rotorooter.com.
Call Roto-Rooter. That's the name. And away go trouble down the drain. Roto-Rooter.
If you're hungry for a great deal on a brand new mattress, come to Sit and Sleep while we're giving away the whole enchilada. We're talking about mouth-watering savings of up to $500 off department store prices on the largest selection of quality name brand mattresses in the USA. Plus, buy any premium set, and with your good credit, pay nothing for one whole year. Plus, get free local delivery, a free bed frame, free setup and old mattress removal, a free mattress pad, and two free pillows, the whole enchilada. That's $179 value for free! Imagine sinking your back into a comfortable new Simmons, Sealy, Serta, Springer, Stearns & Foster, Miralux, and Chatham & Wells while you sink your teeth into this amazing package of savings. No deposit, no interest, and no payments for one whole year. Plus delivery, bed frame, setup, and old mattress removal, a mattress pad, and pillows for free! Call 1-800-FREEEEE to shop by phone. Sit and Sleep will beat anyone's advertised price or your mattress is free!
There's nobody prevented from drinking at a water fountain,
sitting on the bus.
Nobody prevented from being schooled. There's nobody getting lynched. It was an innocuous small cross that nobody ever cared about or noticed. And he compares that to what happened in the South in the 1950s.
John and Ken today at 3
on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
South weather from KFI. Morning fog and clouds with a chance of drizzle and partial afternoon clearing. High 78, low 64. Right now it's 64 in Mission Viejo, 63 in Palmdale, and it's 62 degrees in L.A. KFI is the talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. At 4:07, I'm Rick Cruz, KFI News.
Somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
By the way, it looks like July 12th will be the day that I'll be back in the City of Angels with Coast to Coast. If I can ever escape this cave, these aliens continue to watch me. Hey, the After Dark newsletter, June 18th, tomorrow, Friday, or today, if you're looking at it, it's the last moment to order the After Dark newsletter where you get the free CD of Malachi Martin. You'll always be able to order After Dark, but the free CD, this is it, one more day. Take advantage by calling 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Well, you know that antenna sticking out of your radio? Well, that's not for AM reception, and no twisting or turning will ever make it better for AM, no matter what you try to do. So if you have trouble pulling in that favorite AM station, it's time to upgrade to a real AM antenna. The best one is the Twin Coil Ferrite AM antenna. It was designed by the C-Crane Company to work with any radio that you own, from your trusty portable to that booming home stereo. During the day, You can expect that twin coil AM antenna to double your daytime reception. And at night, you can look forward to less fade out and no more static and distortion. The twin coil ferrite AM antenna solves the problem of poor AM reception. Order yours for only $99.95, and that includes free ground shipping. Call the Sea Crane Company. Their phones open up at 6:30 in the morning Pacific time at 800-522-8863. That number again for the twin coil ferrite AM antenna. Or that free Sea Crane catalog, 800-522-8863. You can also go to the web at ccradio.com. The Sea Crane Company. Discovers something new today.
The notion of a 40-hour work week is several hours short of reality. Working long hours is a given when you run your own business, no matter what business you happen to be in. With that kind of schedule, the last thing you want to worry about is office supplies. So from paper to computers, pens to coffee, Sam's Club has the products you need for any business office. Sam Walton created Sam's Club to give small businesses the purchasing power of big businesses. That means when you shop at Sam's Club, you get everyday low costs on the supplies you need to run your office. And since it's tough to be away from your business during the day, we offer special gold key hours, early morning hours from 7 to 10, when we're open exclusively for business members. Another time saver? Our click and pull and fax and pull services let you order ahead at samsclub.com or by fax at no extra charge. We know that time and money are important to you. Helping you make the most of both is why we're here. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Thanks to kids' shrinking attention spans, backseat road games have been replaced by DVD players. But Motel 6 is still the place for a clean, comfortable room for the lowest price of any national chain. You can even afford to get the kids their own room after 300 miles of quality time. Now, don't make me tell you again, or I'll turn this car around and go straight home. Sorry, force of habit. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you. And a core hotel.
Honey, this stuff is useless. I can't get this shower clean.
Well, try some of that other stuff instead.
A good dose of this ought to do it.
What is going on in here? You didn't mix those two chemicals, did you?
I don't feel so good.
People don't always use common sense. Fortunately, there's a healthcare company that does. United Healthcare. Make fewer copays for maintenance drugs online. We fill gaps in care others might miss. And when you call, a real nurse is available 24 hours a day. United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
This is KFI.
And welcome back to Coast, final leg here with William Henry and your phone calls. Let's first of all go west to the Rockies, where we find you on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Jimmy in Vista, listening on Kogo 600.
Hi, Jimmy. Welcome to the program.
How's it going? This is pertaining to the Whirling Dervishes. That's something I've studied for a little while and all that. One thing I've realized is the way that they're trying to create the wormholes, the so-called wormholes, is if you notice that they spin, they themselves spin in a counterclockwise motion, which is basically symbolic of the Earth. And then at the same time, they go, when they spin, their revolution becomes a clockwise motion, which is symbolizing the sun. So it's what they're trying to do is they're balancing the both, you know, the sun also being a figure of the heavens. Okay, so by balancing those two, going counterclockwise and clockwise at the same time, what they're doing is they're creating that that conical, like the last guest was talking about. They're creating that positive negative to create that wormhole between the corporeal and the, you know, the spiritual.
Yeah, beautifully said. That's exactly what is going on here. Are you actually a whirling dervish dancer?
I don't know if he heard you or not, William.
Okay, yeah.
There he is.
Clicking in some static, and that was about it.
There you go. There
yeah,
you
I was just wondering, are you actually training to be a whirling dervish?
No, it's my hobby is similar to basically your career. It's just mythical investigation.
Oh, great.
It's just something I've done for ages. Joseph Campbell is a very big inspiration.
Uh-huh.
And it's
yeah,
just
same here.
I enjoy it, and just hearing you talk about how, you know, what a wonderful career it is and all that. I'm also now I'm kind of piqued in that interest. But I'm only 24, and so I've still got a in the Cherokee ways, I'm still just a I'm still a kindergartner.
You're a puppy.
You know,
that's great.
And
miles
so,
to go.
You know, I still have my whole life ahead of me to think about this. But I mean, I tell you what, when I was coming home from work. And hearing about the Whirling Dervishes, I was like, I know about this stuff. Let me call in.
Yeah, really glad you did.
But, it's great because, you know, if you look at it from even like the Taoist and all that, you know, you've got the yin and the yang. You've got the positive and negative going both counterclockwise and clockwise at the same time in rotation. No matter what you need is a balance of everything to create the so-called spiritual wormhole for that enlightenment. And I don't think really a lot of people today realize that.
No, that's why I'm so excited to bring some of this information forward, because this is a new dynamic to be considered for certain.
All right, thanks. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello. How you fellas doing today?
We are well. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Denver.
Okay.
First of all, I would like to thank Mr. Henry for coming in and giving us his perspective. I think it's very interesting. However, I would like to take exception to his use of the term investigative mythologist, because in my opinion, I have an anthropology degree and I'm an active anthropologist. In my opinion, he's taking a very ethnocentric view of the interpretation of past cultural's view of himself. And that's a tendency of our Western ways to do that. But I think in him using this ethnocentric view to interpret mythology of other cultures, he's really missing out on what those mythological traditions do provide in and of themselves in terms of what the original cultures themselves constructed them for.
I don't agree. I think a tremendous example of that is Christianity, the way the first Christians went into the Buddhist texts. Many of the words that are attributed to Jesus are actually words from the Buddha. And so you could say that Jesus made the same mistake that I'm making, by coming at the Buddhist tradition from a Western perspective effectively and misinterpreting the words of an Eastern figure, the Buddha. I think that there's a place that you can stand in between the two and find a constructive means to unite and to harmonize, and that's what I am attempting to do. It's not to say that there's anything wrong with the way it's interpreted from within that culture, but there is one consciousness. There is one human consciousness, and each of the major religions are simply expressions, and all the world's mythologies are expressions of the one great story, the human soul's quest to return to its source. And so all traditions reflect that story. Therefore, they are all effectively the same tradition, with names and places are the only things that really change, in my opinion.
So you believe we have been visited in the past. Do you believe, William, that we are still being visited?
I don't have personal direct evidence of that. I've, of course, studied some of the abduction phenomenon and looked at other examples such as that, and I would have to say that I'm of the category that says, yes, I think we are still being visited. And, I mean, just the passing of Ronald Reagan is a very good example of that, because he was the person that really brought to the modern consciousness this idea of the possibility of visitors coming to Earth from another realm. And what if they came to Earth? Well, the human race would have to unite. And this was one of the key stories or key ideas that Reagan told to Gorbachev at the Reykjavik summit. Now, you know, traditional historians say, well, that's an example of Ronald Reagan's famous sense of humor. Well, then why did Gorbachev then go back to Moscow and repeat the same sentiment? And why did Reagan repeat the exact same story a number of times at other summits and even at the UN? I think that today that's an example of a world leader that believes in this concept, and I follow right along with it.
I was talking to Michael Reagan, the late president's son, about a year ago. And, he expressed the fact that his father was a believer that there were extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
And though he never saw anything directly.
Right. But he certainly was in a position to bring out or make certain knowledge available. And I think he was headed in that direction.
Let's go to our first time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with William Henry. Hi.
Hi. Good evening or good morning. I just want to let you know that I just got kind of hooked up to your show just recently, and it's very interesting, and I just wanted to
I hope you're hooked. Great.
But basically what my question is my name is Goody, and I'm calling from Fort Collins, Colorado. And I just moved out here about a little over a year ago from Henderson, Kentucky. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. And it's right on the border of Indiana, Evansville, Indiana, and Kentucky there on the Ohio River. Yep.
And it's not that far from St. Louis either.
Exactly. It's about 4 or 5 hours maybe. Yeah. Not really too far. I am not too far from Mammoth Cave. And he had, William, you had brought up that you were going there for something. I'm not sure it was, but where I have frequented Mammoth Cave many, many times throughout my youth up to my adulthood until I went in the military, and at that time that I kind of moved away from there. But the whole time that I had been in there, and I'll be honest with you, Mammoth Cave is one of the most fascinating places I've ever been, because the last time I'd been there, it was a couple years ago, they every year find miles of more trails, and last I was there was like over 500 miles of trails. And they still find more trails every year, and they open it up and they redo another trail. So it's always a variety of things. You can go to like the 6-hour tour where you can actually go in there with lights and crawl through and that kind of thing. Or you can take a little half an hour tour. So it's very varied. But what I am real concerned about, and I kind of shrugged it off because I thought it was kind of weird. But every time I went in it, I would get these feelings. And it wasn't uncomfortable feelings. It was just feelings of static electricity. And they were very strong. The deeper I'd go, the more I'd get it. I'd ask other people if they had it. No one ever seemed to have that. And I don't know if you're very aware of that area. It's very close to Tennessee. It gets down to Bowling Green. It's a big Shawnee area, and that's my grandmother. And she told me, she says, what it is that you're feeling an opening. Okay, which I kind of discounted because the way she spoke, it was a very Indian way of thinking, and I don't know, I was more raised as I, you know, living with my parents. They kind of discounted that thing, you know, an old woman kind of thing. But my question to you is, what were you going down there to look for? Because I'm kind of concerned those feelings I had when I was there, and it happened every time, no matter what trail I would go to in the morning. I mean, I would go, you could go 3-4 miles down in and literally continue.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of the things,
it's a wonderful cave.
Yeah, great question. One of the things I'm always interested in are any of, especially Native American stories of vortexes in America, of energy centers, of inner earth openings, all of this sort of thing, because there's a huge body of especially Rosicrucian, and you might even call it Illuminati literature, that refers to this alleged advanced race that dwells within the inner realms, even in the inner earth, so to speak. And a lot of people say that, just dismiss that as complete lunacy. But it's kind of just a fun hobby of mine to always keep an eye on that, because they just keep being repeated over and over and over throughout history. And it suggests to me that, you know, that adage is that behind every fable or legend, there's a kernel of truth. And it just may be that there is interdimensional portals that can take you from point A on Earth to point B someplace else. I'll give you an example of this. In 1945, after we bombed Tokyo, the world press got together with FDR and said, Mr. President, were you able to get those planes into Tokyo? And FDR's response was straight-faced. He said, they came from our secret base at Shambhala. The planes came from our secret base at Shambhala. And this is in Doris Godwin's book, No Ordinary Time, this quote. And she's a mainstream FDR historian, and she even dismissed it. But the fact of the matter is that Shambhala myth and legend says that Shambhala is an inner Earth portal, and it connects to other such vortexes or portals throughout the planet. And I asked you a question. Was FDR telling the truth? Did those planes really come from a secret base, a portal, an inner earth opening at Shambhala? Because in my book, The Atomic Christ, I had talked about how FDR had sent the Russian mystic guru Nicholas Rurik to Mongolia in that region in search of Shambhala. So there's a lot of funny business around this that just keeps coming up, and every now and then you catch a little statement like that by FDR that really makes you wonder if that is in fact true. Why is Area 51 where it's located?
Also sounds a little like Shangri-La, Shambhala.
It's interchangeable term, Shangri-La, Shambhala.
Think it's the same thing?
Yes. Yeah, uh-huh. It's the mystic mountain originally called Meru. And in fact, the pyramids in Egypt were called Mer, after the primordial mountain, the place of ascension.
Well said. I learned from you, William, every time you're on. Did
That's
you know
great.
That?
Well, thanks again for having me on, George. And, hey, by the way, can I give my phone number again?
Yes, you may.
It's 615-292-7863. It's 615-292-7863. And as always, any of the Coast listeners that order any book or DVD, I'll give you a free copy, a gift of the Stargates of the Gods DVD.
So they should mention, though, they're Coast listeners, I
Please.
Guess, when they
yeah.
come. Let's go to our wild card line. Hello there. You're on Coast to Coast with William Henry.
Hi. Good morning. David in New York City.
Hi, David.
Hi, how are you? I'm a fan of the show. Before the last break, you were briefly talking about the theory of Adam and Eve.
Yes, sir.
And something I put thought into years and years ago, and it just sort of jogged my memory when I was listening. If that to be said is true, then, I mean, it's been proven that inbreeding causes defects, mental, physical, and if Adam and Eve were the only two where all humanity came from, then we are a great progression of defects throughout those first generations, causing us to be a less of whatever they may have been.
That explains it, probably. What do you think about that, William?
That's a pretty interesting line of thought. I mean, you do every now and then catch people that do say that, but yet ultimately we do have it within our DNA, I believe, to unleash latent powers, latent abilities that will help us to get back on the higher spiritual path.
Speaking of the path, what direction do you see our planet going in the next 10, 15 years? 8 years, let's say, leading up to the Mayan calendar, the 2012.
Well, I try to follow NASA and some of the imagery that they put up on their site, and I just see this yearning at the highest technological level to become more of a galactic-type civilization. And so if we can reach into the stars in that way and bring the inspiration and the technology back down to Earth, I really think that we have a tremendous opportunity to clean things up, and we do have a lot of cleaning up to do, and to put us on the path of clearly what I refer to as enlightenment. And I know there's a lot of people that say, you know, we're headed into tyranny, that we're actually our country, the leader of the free world, is becoming a police state. But yet, you know, it's within the individual to decide that they don't want to choose that path. And that's, I think, ultimately what this 2012 moment is about individuals choosing the higher path of Tara, which means compassion and enlightenment, and is the flip side of our current war on terror. If we focus our energy on terror, we're going to get more terror. But it's only when we go to the higher level, into the realm of Tara, compassion and enlightenment, that we're going to cause the flip to happen in a positive way.
Does Dana Augustine, by the way, make those phenomenal sketches available, poster size or painting size?
We talked about that, and if anyone's interested, they can drop me an email at whenrytn@earthlink.net, or more simply, williamhenry@williamhenry.net, and I'm certain Dana would be happy to make some of those available. Absolutely. Thank you for asking.
Oh, that, yeah, I mean, because he does just a great job. I mean, that's great artwork. William Henry, once again, thank you so much. Keep in touch, all right?
Absolutely.
That's William Henry. WilliamHenry.net. That's his website. For Dan Galante, Stephen Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Barbara Simpson, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Kevin Mitnick, the first hour, as we talk about strange things going on in the web world. And then we'll have about 3 hours of open lines, Friday into Saturday night, with some spooky things in between. Be safe, everyone.
News on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks.
I'm Rick Cruz in the KFI News Center. A judge has refused to throw out as evidence a videotape the prosecutors say shows an assistant sheriff's younger son and two of the boys having their way a couple of years ago with an unconscious girl. The ruling by the Orange County Superior Court judge clears the way for final arguments to begin next Tuesday morning. The arguments are expected to take at least 3 court days. The guitarist for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame punk band, the Ramones, is hospitalized at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center because of a secondary infection related to prostate cancer. Johnny Ramone should be leaving the hospital next week. He is in his early to mid-50s. It is being called one of the worst droughts ever in the West. The U.S. Geological Survey says it could be the worst in 500 years. The Colorado River is lower than during the 1930s Dust Bowl. Southland weather from KFI, morning fog and clouds and a chance of drizzle. Partial afternoon clearing, high 78, low 64. KFI is the talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half of winter breaks. I'm Rick Cruz in the KFI News Center.
Traffic presented by Lexus.
In the KFI Traffic Center, Boyle Heights 5 southbound before 4th Street. Car conked out. It's in the fast lane. Diamond Bar 60 eastbound past Diamond Bar Boulevard. Watch out for a big object in the right lane. Downtown LA, 110 southbound connector to the 10 eastbound. Closed for Caltrans work. Tustin 5 southbound of Tustin Ranch Road. Got the full right lanes coned off. This traffic report brought to you by Easy Lube. Want the best oil change? Visit Easy Lube today. The national operators of the year. Over 50 convenient Easy Lube locations. Easy Lube. It's a hard road. They make it easy. Visit the Dana Point Easy Lube at Doheny Park Road and PCH. For Lexus dealers, I'm Barbara Brooks in the KFI Traffic Center.
The Bill Handel Radio Program.
I think that's fine. I don't think they can stop that. I don't think it's a question of personal, religious, symbol.
If you're a pagan, can you wear a big witch hat?
I think... Yes, you can.
Bill Handel, this morning, 5 to 9.
On KFI, AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
Hi, I'm Don Crevier, and I'd like to think that it's our caring sales staff that makes Crevier different from other dealerships. We've been in the business of building relationships for over 33 years now, and that's helped Crevier to become the number one selling BMW center in the U.S. for the last 2 years. We're committed to offering you more, like a knowledgeable and friendly sales staff, free car washes, loaner cars, and tailored financing packages that meet your needs. Right now, we're offering some incredible savings on our huge BMW inventory. So hurry into Crevier BMW today and get your motor running with the ultimate driving machine. We're located in the Santa Ana Auto Mall at Edinger and the 55 Freeway. Visit CrevierBMW.com or call 1-800-NEW-BMWs for more information. Crevier BMW. Get your motor running.
Lease a 2004 325i for $299 per month for 36 months. $3,099 due at signing, subject to credit approval by BMW Financial. MSRP $30,070. Call 1-800-NEW-BMWs for details or visit CrevierBMW.com.
Thank you for calling the offices of Marcus Plotkin. Someone will be with you in a moment. Someone will take your call shortly. It's certainly not like everybody in the office rushed out to go suit shopping or anything. I mean, just because 3-Day Suit Broker has 100% wool suits for $99, that doesn't mean everyone here would just up and leave the office to go buy some suits. Even if 3-Day Suit Broker has Italian designer suits by Zilioni from $250 and DKNY suits at $199. And since the boss got rid of casual Fridays, these guys could sure use a few new suits, especially Lewis in accounting. How about a new wardrobe, buddy? Actually, I gotta run. My husband's in dire need of a new suit. Good luck with whatever you need.
For the location nearest you, call 888-811-SUIT. 3-Day Suit Broker, where the smart money goes.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stopping still. I can't see their faces.
from somewhere deep below the earth. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
William Henry, our guest, your phone calls as well, and we'll be back with him as we chat more about mythology on Coast to Coast AM.
Every dad's motto is, I'll wait in the car. Grocery stores, malls, your wedding, for some reason they love waiting in the car. So get them Sirius Satellite Radio this Father's Day. It's got 110 channels, including commercial-free music, news, talk, sports, and the entire NFL.
Get Sirius Satellite Radio for just $9.99 a month. Offer based on prepaid one-year subscription and available for a limited time at participating retailers. Hardware sold separately. Terms, conditions, and activation fee apply. Visit Best Buy, CircuitCityCrutchfield.com, or Sirius.com for details.
With Sirius, now Dad'll have some company in the car.
It's the stick it where it hurts to feel well patch. Works in a hurry to feel well patch. Lasts a long time to feel well. Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
Is pain keeping you from feeling well? Try the immediate, long-lasting pain relief of well patch. Well patch comes in a full line of pain-relieving patches that soothes your specific pain. For backache, arthritis, muscle pain, or stiff neck, put on a well patch.
Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
Hey, did you know that the average person carries poison in their body? That's true, and that these poisons, toxins, are continually released in the bloodstream, causing all kinds of symptoms, such as decreased immune function, chronic fatigue, dangerous diseases. That's why I recommend Dr. Teplisky's Super Detox Program, a four-step program to really clean your body of this toxic waste. It scrubs your body clean, removing stored toxins in your organs, killing yeast and parasites, and replenishing healthy bacteria. It will make your body clean, vibrant, healthy. And when you buy steps 1 and 2 of the Super Detox Program, well, you'll get steps 3 and 4 absolutely free. Plus, with that order, well, you get a free book, Dr. Teplisky's book, called Detox for Life. It's a $20 value, absolutely free. So call now, and here's the number, 1-800-447-9323. Now, this is guaranteed to work, or you get your money back, and it's not available in stores. Call now, 1-800-447-9323. Buy steps 1 and 2. Get steps 3 and 4 absolutely free, plus the free book. So call now. 1-800-447-9323. That's 1-800-447-9323.
This is KFI.
William, summer solstice coming up very soon. Do you... I don't know, go out and witness that event at all?
I have in years past, and this year I'll be in Washington, D.C., actually Rockville, Maryland, giving a presentation all day. So I'm very excited about going to our nation's capital and walking around there and looking at the monuments and just experiencing it. So that's how I'll be celebrating it this year.
So my imagination, does it seem like time seems to just go by faster and faster and faster?
Absolutely, but you know, I'm on the Cherokee plan. They say that their life expectancy is 120 years, and you don't become an adult till you're 56.
So, you got a long way to go.
Yeah, I'm 41 now, so I figure I'm still in kind of my adolescence here, and I'll be an adult in about 15 years actually.
When you are out on your conferences, and you do take questions from people in the audience.
Oh yeah.
What do they ask you primarily? What seems to come up the most?
Well, I have such an astute audience that they very often can be pretty technical questions. But basically, the one question everybody wants to know is now is what's going to happen in 2012? What's going to happen in 2012?
How do you answer that?
Well, I say we're already in the 2012 event. The things that the Mayans predicted were going to happen, again, basing a lot of this on the work of John Major Jenkins, is the Mayans said that we will be experiencing a moment of rebirth or cosmogenesis, of a new beginning. And I see signs of that all over the place, that we're actually going through the birth pains of a new era here. And some of us want to interpret this very negatively, like we're headed for some kind of a doomsday event. But I personally think that we're going through the wormhole, so to speak, and we're going to come out the other end into this new beginning.
So it'll be an enlightened return for us?
Yes, that's the way I interpret it. And part of the way I base that on is in the ancient world, there was an understanding of four basic elements that we called earth, air, fire, and water. Well, today, we call those four basic elements genes, bits, neurons, and atoms. And we have near complete mastery over each of those, the technologies represented by genes, the genetic technology, bits, computer technology, neurons being our neuroscience, and atoms being nanotechnology. And with the use or mixing of these four elements or technologies, we have in our hands right now the tools or elements of creation. But what we must bear in mind is that in the ancient world there was a fifth element that they called wood. But wood was actually the word, the life force energy, like the Bible says, in the beginning was the word. And the word is the spirit, the quintessence, the fifth essence. And that's primarily where I'm focusing and directing my research, so then I can go back to scientists that deal with the genes, bits, neurons, and atoms and say, you know what? You could do a lot better job with what you're doing if you put a spiritual basis or underpinning to what you're doing.
You see where scientists are starting to dabble with teleportation, and they've been able to apparently move an atom from one spot to another?
This isn't Star Trek yet, but we're headed in that direction.
One day.
And see, you know, and there again, that brings up Star Trek was a vision by Gene Roddenberry that of the militarization of space. And in fact, in the very first episode of those Star Trek Next Generation episodes, they just downplayed the whole idea of metaphysics. But yet, I think that's what we need to get back to, is the ancient spirituality and a metaphysical basis for all of our technological activity.
Let's go to the phones. You ready?
Yes.
We'll pick it up by going east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, good morning. I am Douglas, and I am calling you from Newton, Massachusetts. That would make me a WRKO listener.
Absolutely.
And according to the Cherokee theory, I'm still a kid. Now, the reason I'm calling is I wanted to find out from William. I've always found the Garden of Eden story to be somewhat difficult to accept.
Well, are you there, Douglas?
Sounds like he's gone. Got cut off.
Maybe he did. Well, anyway, I think I know where he was headed. The Garden of Eden story. I want to get your reaction to that.
Right. So the basic story is that Adam and Eve are dwelling in this paradisical land, and then Eve is tempted by the serpent. She eats the fruit of the tree of knowledge, which I call the blue apples. She becomes enlightened. She shares this fruit with her spouse, Adam. Suddenly they recognize they're no longer in their bodies of light. They are in their bodies of flesh. And as a punishment for this transgression against acting against the law or word of God, they are evicted from the Garden of Eden. And Yahweh, God, the Hebrew God, places a flaming gate at the entrance to Eden. And on either side of that gate, he places cherubim to guard the gate, to prevent us from re-entering it. And so, in my estimation, this is loaded with Stargate and wormhole imagery. The tree of life would be the tree of knowledge would be the resurrection machine, the 90 to 180 foot tall Egyptian pillar of Osiris that's capable of drilling holes in space. The serpent in that tree is the wormhole that we've been describing. The fruit that Eve ate from is the exotic matter, the enlightened matter of which the wormholes are composed. And for whatever reason, God did not want us to become these enlightened beings capable of traversing these wormholes. So he closes that gate, places a flaming sword, some form of a vibrational technology at that gate, and prevents us from re-entering.
Good point.
That's the quest that we all have. And then later the story's picked up in the Tower of Babel episode where Nimrod gathers humanity together to build the tower, the gate, which is what the word Babel originally meant, that ascends into the heavens. But once again, the gods, God, the Elohim, Yahweh, decides that he doesn't want company. So he demolishes our gate, the Tower of Babel, and separates humanity by language. In the Garden of Eden story, humanity spoke a unified language. There was a pre-flood primordial language system that unified the human race. And that language system is referred to as the language of the birds, the language of the enlightened, or the language of the awakened.
Do you believe that Adam and Eve were space travelers?
I'm not sure if Adam and Eve were space travelers, but again, I'm a big proponent of this notion that, again, launched primarily by Zechariah Sitchin, that the Anunnaki came to Earth from heaven and had that hand in tinkering with our DNA, creating the Adapa, the model man, which then became the Adam figure in the Garden of Eden, the Book of Genesis.
First time caller line, your turn. You're on with William Henry. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Sarah, and I have a
Sarah.
Question.
Hello. Sure thing.
William, I'm unfortunately, I think I'm a mainstream Egyptologist. I'm getting my master's degree, but I actually had a question. Do you read Middle Egyptian grammar or hieroglyphs?
Some.
Because I'm fascinated how you, what I call a solar bark, I think you're referring to as the ship.
Yes.
With the lotus or lily heads.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, because some of your examples from Dendera, you know, that's late period stuff, and in art history, you know, late period stuff is just crazy, and they crammed it with all sorts of imagery that actually didn't make a lot of sense. So I'm just curious how you got, you know, that idea for the solar bark.
Well, when you look at it, again, what I'm doing is comparing symbols. I'm comparing the symbol of the solar bark, the bark or arc of the millions of years, with the modern scientific depiction of what we feel like a wormhole would look like. And when you do an A to B comparison to an average person, you're going to look at that and say they are strikingly similar. And so what I'm doing then is extrapolating based upon that, not necessarily, again, saying that the gods of ancient Egypt traveled through wormholes, but asking the question, can we bring forward the archetypal myths, dramas, and symbolism of these ancient cultures and apply it to our current era quest to devise and build stargates or wormholes? And I believe the answer to that question is yes.
You're in search of parallels.
Yes. And part of another basis for this, bringing up hieroglyphs, is when Champollion deciphered the Egyptian hieroglyphs in the 1820s, he stepped out on a limb using highly speculative methods when he deduced that the letter, if it looked like a letter M that he was looking for in the cartouche of Ramses. And this enabled him to open up the ancient Egyptian mind. Well, it's very interesting that that M letter is the letter for mess or mist. And this referred to knowledge that may have originated from the heavenly realms. And I believe that what we're looking at with those ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs is a coded system for tapping into universal consciousness, as demonstrated again by the way Champollion was able to open up or pry open the Egyptian mind. And so again, what I'm attempting to do as an investigative mythologist is delve into, explore human consciousness, the subconscious realms, the realm of symbolism, and draw these comparisons and asking questions. Again, not in a sense to say you must believe what I say. This is the one and only interpretation of this, which is a, you know, kind of an academic approach in my view, but rather to try and open it up to not really speculation, but just questions.
Must be fascinating, William, to want to get a degree in Egyptology, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I absolutely just totally applaud people that
Good
do that.
Her.
And there's wonderful universities in America where we've got artifacts from ancient Egypt right here at our fingertips.
Back to the phones we go. Wild card line, William Henry, standing by to talk with you. Hi there.
Hello, this is Chuck.
Hi, Chuck. Go ahead.
How you doing? This is fascinating, and I have to admit, Holy Blood, Holy Grail ignited a lot of fires out there, including myself, when I read it. I do have a question. How does this, or can this relate in your research, to the Kundalini, the yogic practice of Kundalini, and some of the Taoist philosophies of the energy source inside ourselves?
Yeah, it
Have you
totally,
any familiarization with this?
Yeah, it totally relates, Chuck. In fact, what I try to do is apply some of the principles of the Kundalini idea of lifting the serpent of energy within to what we see, for example, in the crypt of Dendera and what Moses did when he set up the pillar of brass and lifted the serpent. I see all of these as allusions or metaphors for a process that goes inside each of us. And by interpreting myth and scripture in light of our anatomy, we are able to actually find the real keys to the wisdom that has been hidden from us.
I agree. It's funny. It seems like I've been searching for this stuff all my life, and I enjoy this show because you guys are fascinating. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate your phone call. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. How are you?
We are well. Thank you.
You were talking about the wormholes forming at the beginning of the universe, and I had a talk with a physicist one time, and I'd like to share a little idea that might explain what the missing mass
Sure. Go ahead. Please.
Okay. It's kind of hard to do, but whenever you have an atomic explosion, there's always an EMP. There's what emanates beyond the...
That's an electromagnetic pulse.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
And I know that they have trapped antimatter, which is the clue to the missing mass, by trapping it by magnetic pulses, and the antimatter spirals around the lines of magnetic flux, or lines of magnetic lines. Then they trap it. They've actually trapped antimatter, if you're familiar with how they've done that. They trap it by it expanding out. Now, if the expanding of the universe was physical, what had to precede it was an EMP. So my theory is, and I've talked to a physicist about it, he seemed to think that there was some grounds for it, that at the very beginning of the universe, some of the mass had to travel faster than the speed of light, and that there's this thing about this the slowing down of the universe. If matter was expanding faster than the speed of light, antimatter, then antimatter has to have a ring expanding out beyond the expansion of the regular universe. They also say that as the universe expands, that there is a natural tendency for matter to be created in the void in between. So my theory is, if you figure that the universe is expanding and then another universe, if you look at a conical section, a conical section goes from the positive to the negative. So imagine the universe expanding and another one contracting. Now, when the universe that contracts comes to a singularity, that's when it reaches, all mass becomes one and the same. Imagine another universe expanding to where the regular mass finally meets up with a ring of antimatter that's out there waiting for the two to collide. So you get an explosion of a singularity in the one universe, and an implosion once the mass comes in contact, and in other words, would be coming towards the center. In other words, one expanding from an explosion and one contracting from a similar explosion. And this had to deal with the conical functions and how quarks spin. And when a quark spins, it forms the primordial matter that we call protons, electrons, and electrons. And I got to thinking of a conical function. If you could spin a conical function, if you could imagine, when you cut through conical functions with a sheet of paper, how you get ellipses and you get hyperbolas and that. Well, if you could take a piece of paper and go through a conical function, positive and negative, and if you reached a limit and then pass it through the center, that circle comes to a point and then expands. And if you rotate it like you do subatomic particles to create a three-dimensional image of this, you would have a circle that would be contracting while another circle would be expanding.
Well, that's the image of the whirling dervish we've been describing, where you have the two rings, the two circles that are interacting with one another. So one in your model here could be positive, the other negative, and then the person spinning would actually be that antimatter, wouldn't it?
You know, that also looks a little bit like what you were talking about in your DVD of the G, which looked like our galaxy?
Yes. Yes, the Mayans used the letter G to symbolize the galaxy, to symbolize love, and to symbolize the concept of the cosmic egg. And that G symbol appears over and over again in Masonic imagery in ancient Egypt, where it means shelter and rope, and a lot of other places. And that's one of the key symbols that I've been working with to suggest that it looks like the ancients had tremendous knowledge, advanced knowledge about our Milky Way and perhaps other galaxies that we're only rediscovering today.
There are not a lot of people who practice what you practice, mythology, investigative mythology.
No, but I get a lot of people that call and wonder how they can become an investigative mythologist.
Well, it's fascinating.
And it's new territory, and this is an absolutely wonderful time to be alive because of the, well, of course, the internet and the way the data is being shared by people now. And just since right after World War II, we've had this tremendous explosion in the amount of ancient texts that have become available. There's more work than I can possibly do in three lifetimes ahead of me.
Of all the places you have visited, William, which one's your favorite?
Roslyn Chapel in Scotland. I could go back there time and time again.
Why? And what was there?
Roslyn Chapel. This was a Holy Grail chapel constructed by William Sinclair that is a repository of many of the secrets of the Knights Templar.
Well, now that would be fascinating.
Yeah, it's in Roslyn, Scotland, near Edinburgh, which is it's all very magical and just a tremendously mystical place in my view. I love going there.
Well, the program's not over yet. We'll still continue to take your phone calls. William's website, of course. I was able to get into it, so I think things have calmed down there a little bit. WilliamHenry.net. And again, he's got a phone number if you'd like to order some of the books, and he has written many. 618-292-7863. I'm George Norrie. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
I have been a customer of AIS, Auto Insurance Specialists, for over 10 years. That's how long I've been telling you about these folks. They have saved me literally tens of thousands of dollars over the years, money that I don't pay or haven't paid for insurance that I would be quoted from other insurance companies. Boy, is that impressive. Not only do I want you to compare what you're now paying to what AIS is going to charge you, you call these folks and they're going to give you the rates of insurance companies like Geico or Progressive and many more, and you can compare for yourself. So why would you call anyone else? They reshop their carriers at every renewal to make sure your coverage works, that you're still saving the most amount of money. They have multiple policy discounts. I have both auto and homeowners, which means I save an additional 15% on top of the already great price. They do renter's insurance. Call them at 1-800-777-4AIS. AISinsurance.com on the net. 1-800-777-4AIS.
Welcome to Saab's 24/24 sales event. It starts with a 24-hour test drive, 24 hours of turbocharged performance, 24 hours to surround yourself with world-class safety features like front seat Saab active head restraints. And if 24 hours are this exhilarating, just imagine what a 24-month lease will feel like. 24 months to enjoy the convenience of standard no-charge scheduled maintenance. But hurry, an offer like this won't be around all day and all night. Welcome to the State of Independence in Saab's 24/24 sales event. Lease a 2004 Saab 9-3 Lanier Sports Sedan starting at $269 a month for 24 months. $2,995 due at inception. Includes security deposit, taxes, insurance, title, license, dealer fees, registration fees, and disposition fee extra. Expires 6/30/04. No charge scheduled maintenance for the earlier of 3 years or 36,000 miles. For program and test drive details and restrictions, 1-800-SAAB-USA and gm.com/24-hour. Visit your Los Angeles and Orange County Saab retailers.
Titled Teens Not Reasonable Study Confirms, we learn that government researchers from the National Institute of Mental Health and University of California have mapped brain development in children from age 4 through 21. First to develop are basic functions, smell, hearing, and sight. Next come the portions of the brain governing movement and touch, followed by the areas that control language. Last to mature, and this occurs between 18 and 21, are the parts of the brain responsible for problem solving and reasoning. Now, is there anybody out there who's unaware that teenagers are not reasonable? I mean, given that, you might expect me to ridicule the study, but you would be wrong, my friends. I think we should expand this study immediately to scan the brains of adult liberals. We might finally understand why liberals seem to lack mature reasoning and problem-solving skills. We might learn why they, like kids, think it's okay to take what they haven't earned simply because they want it. Why they, like kids, throw temper tantrums and resort to name-calling when someone disagrees with them. Why they, like kids, come up with excuses for...